Chair Farrar.
Here. Item number three on our agenda this evening is our flag salute, and we're pleased to have Girl Scout Cadet Troop from Tres Candados. Did I pronounce that right? Close enough? Okay. Troop 829, and they're going to lead us in the flag salute, and then if you would remain standing for our invocation, Pastor Robert Banker is here from the Open Door Church here in Arroyo Grande, and he will do our invocation tonight. Ladies, anytime.
Please stand for the flag ceremony.
Color guard, attention. Color guard, advance. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Father, we come to you again and we give thanks for the fact that we have someone we can call upon in our times of need, someone who loves us and cares for us and is there to give us wisdom and insight whenever we need it. Father, we thank you again for the council and for their dedication and for the things that they do, the time that they spend, the hours that they give to their community in service. And Father, we just pray that you would give them wisdom tonight and encouragement. We pray that they might be blessed for their time of service, and they might be honored for the place that they serve. Bless the city of Arroyo Grande, we ask. This we pray in the name of the one who loves us so much. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
And we would like to invite our Girl Scout troop to... Unless you want to run the meeting, you got a good start at it before. But this is an opportunity for you to share with us some of the activities that you've been involved in, and feel free to do that in whatever format works.
I got elected to do it. The girls were feeling a little shy, so we wanted to just let you know that we thank you so much for inviting us to the meeting. The troop that's here today have just graduated from the 8th grade. They'll be going into the high school next year as 9th graders, except for my older daughter on the end, who was taller, who is going as a senior. But the light blue troop just finished their silver award this year, and that requires a great deal of leadership skills and abilities. They chose to work with the Humane Society to start and went out and met with them to see what it was that they needed. Katrina hit, and they decided to expand it globally, and so they had a car wash where they raised money to send to the animal victims of Katrina, which were often neglected, and then we decided to do it in within...
Okay, well, thanks for being here and all you do for the community and your achievements. All right, that takes us to item number five, special presentations. We have one this evening. The San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund. There'll be a presentation by Jerry Ruiz, the executive director. Jerry, there you are.
I'd like to give a short presentation updating you on the housing crisis in San Luis Obispo County, the activities of the Housing Trust Fund, and to let you know what we're planning for the upcoming year. See which way it goes. The lack of affordable housing is the number one problem throughout San Luis Obispo County. The League of Women Voters, the Action for Healthy Communities, the Tribune, and the Slo Chamber of Commerce are just some of the organizations that rate housing as our biggest problem. 87% of the SLO's chamber members reported that they had difficulty attracting and retaining employees over the past year. 97% of the residents of the city of SLO said that there was a serious or very serious housing problem within the community. Countywide, 62% of the residents reported that there's an extreme housing problem in the community. The problem stems from the fact that housing prices have basically tripled over the last 10 years. This chart shows that, and as a result, housing affordability dropped tremendously. Housing affordability within California, and specifically in San Luis Obispo County, dropped tremendously over that same period. In the year 1995, 37% of the homes in San Luis Obispo County were affordable to the median income household. In 2005, last year, only 10% were. And in November of last year, only 7% were. You probably saw that one headline. What this means is that fewer and fewer people can afford to own a home. Rents are also going up, and it's creating a lot of stress on our communities. The San Luis Obispo County Housing Trust Fund was created to address the housing problems in San Luis Obispo County. Our mission is to increase the supply of affordable housing for low, very low, and moderate income households, including households with special needs. So we're looking at about the bottom two-thirds of our population. We offer two services, financing for affordable housing projects and technical assistance to promote affordable housing, both for projects and for policies that local governments are involved in. We focus on housing projects and programs rather than working with individuals. Over the past 3 years, we were incorporated in February of 2003 and became fully operational in the end of 2003. Since then, we've raised approximately $500,000 for our operating costs, and thank you very much for your support for our package of financing so that it was tax exempt, and in the process, the lender was able to offer them a much lower interest rate. So we're looking at options like that don't take local funds to create affordable housing. We've also worked with most of the local jurisdictions within the county to assist them in various ways with their housing projects and programs. We have obvious support. As you can see from this list, almost every local jurisdiction in the county has supported us financially. Most of the banks in the community, other community groups, we have very broad support. This graph shows a breakdown of our support. The county provided a large grant, the matching grant, to help get us started. The city of SLO, other cities within the community, DOC, have all helped support our operations because housing is a critical issue here. To date, we've earned about 8% of our operating costs with loan interest and fees, and we intend to earn more in the future. Our lending capital at present is all private capital. We've got lines of credit with three banks, Catholic Healthcare West, which owns the local hospital, has loaned us money. A foundation has, three religious organizations have also loaned us money. The California Association of Realtors granted us $100,000 for a loan fund. And about 60 individuals and organizations throughout the community have contributed to the George Moylan Affordable Housing Fund. The George Moylan Fund was created in the memory and honor of one of our founding directors, George Moylan, who also ran the Housing Authority. And individuals, firms, and organizations have contributed about $24,000 to that fund to date, and we're trying to raise that as a permanent source of funds for affordable housing production. In the future, we're looking right now at raising funds for the current fiscal, our current year. We have an application that will be brought to you in a month or two when the budget revisions are being considered. We're seeking more lending capital. Our goal is to have $5 million by the end of the year and $7 million by the end of next year. With those funds, we also intend to create more affordable housing,
both by financing more projects, and we have a number that are in the hopper, and also by assisting local jurisdictions with their housing program policies and working with developers to increase the percentage of units that they build that are affordable for people who live and work in the community. In the long run, we have a goal of creating a dedicated revenue source. Right now, we're borrowing money that has to be repaid over 3 to 10 year periods, and we expect to continue raising money like that. But we're also looking for funds from private sources and public agencies that would be continually supporting our loan fund so that we can produce more housing over time. I thank you very much for your support for the Housing Trust Fund, and wish you lots of luck in creating affordable housing within the community.
Any questions for Jerry? Jerry, we want to thank you for taking. And we would invite any member of the audience that would like to come forward and present any issues, thoughts, observations, suggestions on items that are not published on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any formal action on matters that are not published on the agenda. We would invite you to come forward, if you would please, at this time, state your name, and please address the council as a whole, and please adhere to the 3-minute rule. Items not published on this evening's agenda.
Mr. Mayor, Council members, good evening. My name is Paul Humphreys, a resident of Oroville Grande. 17-year client of the South County Animal Hospital, and I'm here this evening to ask that you review and reconsider a decision you recently made to deny them a permit to expand and modernize their facility. They have been a cornerstone of this community for decades. The community needs them. They're not looking to deforest a hillside. They simply need to remove a few. I believe the obstacle is non-native eucalyptus trees to allow them to expand. I would respectfully ask that you reconsider that at least, at the very least, it deserves the attention of the full council and not just having 3 members who voted on this. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Once again, this item is published on this evening's agenda, so there will be ample time for additional public comment when that item is heard later on this evening. So at this time, this public comment period is set aside for items not published on the agenda, but we appreciate your comment.
My apologies.
That's all right. Okay, hearing none, then we will close the first community comments and suggestions, and we will move to the consent agenda, which is item 8 on the agenda. This is normally a group of items that the council approves in one action. We've had an opportunity to review each of these agenda items, and we will do so. We will approve these items in one action unless there is a member of the council who wishes to pull on a consent item for independent vote or further discussion or action. This is also an opportunity for all of you, members of the audience, or any of you who would like to come forward and comment on the consent agenda, any of the items that would be on your agenda, 8A through 8. Hang on. 8J. So any member of the audience that would like to come forward and comment on just those items, 8A through 8J, this would be an opportunity. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public comment on the consent agenda and bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items to pull this evening?
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem would like to move back. All right. My turn? Yes. All right, now we will hear 8I. Mayor Pro Tem?
I just want to do this as a separate vote.
Okay, So you just want a roll call on 8I, is that correct? No discussion? Okay, all right. Then we'll do a separate roll call on 8I.
We need a motion.
Mr. Mayor, I move for approval of consent agenda item 8I.
Second.
Okay, motion and a second. And resolution, we don't have to worry about that, right? Okay. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, roll call.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
No.
And Mayor Farrar?
Yes. That takes us to our first public hearing this evening, 9A, consideration of appeal of the Planning Commission's interpretation and denial of use shed review 05-021, 1238 Montego Street.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I apologize for the confusion. I was anticipating that this was the item that is going to be a new public hearing on the appeal. This is a continued public hearing that was continued to a date certain to enable the applicant and a neighbor to confer about alternatives. During the period since the item was continued, the applicant, after meeting with the neighbor, submitted a letter requesting withdrawal of his appeal. It requires council consent to withdraw following the hearing. The staff report also mentions the pending and tentative direction that we're taking towards some code modifications to clarify the shed review process. That is more for informational purposes on the agenda. It is not up for discussion this evening. If you have any questions of me, this involves the Harmon property on Montego, which is yellow outlined on the screen. And again, the request is to withdraw the appeal, close the public hearing, and terminate the appeal hearing.
Okay. Roll call, please. Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember
Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember
Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Mayor Farrar?
Yes. Thank you. The next item is 9B, consideration of appeal of the Planning Commission's denial of conditional use permit, case number 06-002, 270 North Halcyon.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and members of the council. This is an appeal of a conditional use permit that was denied by the Planning Commission involving the redevelopment of a veterinary clinic located at 270 North Halcyon Road. Just to go through some background, the project was submitted and reviewed by staff and the Architecture Review Committee, both of which recommended approval. The ARC's recommendation included some minor alterations to the parking lot and landscape plan. The project then went to the Planning Commission for a public hearing in April. At that time, the Commission was unable to make two of the required findings to approve the project and then adopted a resolution of denial. The applicant then appealed the Commission's decision to the Council. The project, as I said, is located at 270 North Halcyon Road. It's zoned highway mixed use. It's immediately north of the new police department addition. There are residences to the east along Arena Street and two churches to the north and the west. And the project consists of demolishing the existing 2,386 square foot single story veterinary clinic, replacing that with a new 4,500 square foot two story clinic, which would be located on the southern end of the property, and have the two-story component adjacent to Halcyon Road and a single-story component facing the adjacent neighbors on Arena Street. The project is subject to the future widening of Halcyon Road. So if it were approved, it would be required to provide the dedication, but not the actual widening at this time. And the project also includes the removal and replacement of several mature eucalyptus trees along the southern property line that would be replaced at a 2-to-1 ratio. The proposed project did meet all applicable standards regarding building height, setbacks, coverage. And I'll just point out that the development code does not establish a parking requirement for veterinary uses. And in those situations, the code does allow the Planning Commission, or in this case, the Council, to set forth the requirement for unclassified parking requirement. And as part of the submittal, the applicant did provide a range of applicable parking standards for other jurisdictions and from the Institute of Transportation Engineers. And what was proposed is one parking space for 300 square feet, which was one of the more restrictive requirements that were submitted. As I mentioned earlier, the proposed project would include the removal of eucalyptus trees. We have had 3 arborists over the course of the project recommend removal and replacement of the trees. And this is due primarily to the age and condition of the trees and shallow root structure. Just point out also that the soils engineer and structural engineer for the project recommended the same to remove and replace. And this is due to the fact that the proposed building is located within 5 feet of the southern property line. The soils report did recommend excavation down to 8 feet, out 5 feet from the property line, which would be to the, or out 5 feet from the building footprint, which would be to the property line. The basis for the Planning Commission's denial, as I said, was that we do have a petition on the file that I can circulate if any member of the council wants to view it with, I believe it's 235 signatures. There were also several letters received in support of the project that were distributed with the staff report, and I believe one came in today. Also that the existing trees proved to be a nuisance for the property owners, and that the project approval was based exclusively on, on the tree preservation issue and not the project as a whole. With that, the Planning Commission recommendation is that the City Council adopt the attached resolution, which would deny the appeal and uphold the Planning Commission's denial of the conditional use permit. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this time.
Questions for Brian? Okay.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question as far as the access to the site. Right now, there's access from Rena and also from Halcyon. Is that Halcyon access necessary?
I don't know that it's necessary. One of the recommendations that came out of the architecture review, committee's review of the project, was to split the parking lot, take the arena side, and dedicate that exclusively for employees. And it would be a smaller parking lot. And then the remaining parking lot would be accessed from Halcyon for the clients to come in and out. But it could probably be designed to either come exclusively off the Halcyon or arena.
Basically, what I'm getting at there is just part of the issue with parking is that we're losing some spaces because there are two. And I didn't know, I didn't believe there was any development issues as far as having the commercial traffic come in off of that street since it is kind of a mixed-use street.
Speaking of Rena?
Yeah.
Yeah. The anticipated increase in traffic wouldn't be substantial. The applicants here, if they have any preference, they could state is the reasons why they proposed the two in the first place. But as far as development standards, it's not required.
Okay. Other questions? Councilmember Dickens.
Yeah, Ryan, in the staff report, it talked about the possibility of off-street parking. And I thought there was indication that there was a specific off-street parking that was going to be secured. Can you identify or elaborate on where that off-street parking might exist?
I believe it's the church, which is immediately west of the property. At the time it was at the Planning Commission, the applicant was in discussions with the church, and I believe since that time they've actually secured an agreement, which they'd be able to answer in more detail.
And it's my assumption that staff believes that the shared parking would work given the different types of uses?
That's correct. The
The main reason for the off-street park, to secure the off-street parking, was it's the intent of the applicant, should the project be approved, to keep the existing facility open while the new facility is under construction, effectively eliminating the existing parking lot. Once the new building is constructed, there would be, I believe it's 15 parking spaces, which works out to 100 to 300 square feet, which we felt, given the supporting documentation, would be appropriate for the use.
So it'd be a temporary need for additional parking?
Temporary, but also at the same time, if it did turn out that more parking was necessary, we could probably work out a longer-term arrangement in the same fashion.
Ryan, we talk about...
I believe in that stretch, it's probably a six-foot-wide sidewalk. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions?
Just one related to Councilman Arnold's question, that related to the recommendation from architectural review on the splitting of the parking lot. I didn't see that in tonight's actual proposal. Is that something that's been drawn up and we know whether it would work or not? Or?
It's not been incorporated into the plans that were submitted. It was a recommendation from the ARC, and one of the conditions of approval that was taken forward to the Planning Commission would require the ARC to review the final site plan and landscape plan. Just to see if everything would work out and make any minor adjustments at that time.
So ultimately, the decision on whether to split the parking lot in half would actually be made by architectural review?
That's the way the condition was worded.
Thank you.
Ryan, could you back your slide presentation up? Right there. Next slide. That one, yeah. I'm trying to reconcile that slide with, I guess, page 3 in the Planning Commission staff report. According to that staff report, it says, this is a quote, three arborists have reviewed the root damage caused to the trees by the grading related to the police department facility. Two have indicated that at least one of the trees should be removed. The city's arborist has indicated that all of the trees could be preserved, but that the tree in question, and I'm assuming that's the one that Major Root got chainsawed, should be monitored carefully. However, the city's arborist has also indicated that any additional impact to the roots from either side will result in irreparable damage. Is that an accurate statement as well?
Yes.
Okay.
And as I stated, the preparation, if this were approved, the preparation for the foundation would basically require that the trees be removed because it would have to go down so far.
Okay. All right. If there are no other questions or clarifications on the staff report, this is a public hearing, and we typically allow the appellant to go first. And so I'd like to offer the opportunity to whoever is representing the appellant this evening.
Can you hear me? Good evening, Honorable Mayor and City Council, and to the staff. If you don't mind, we have a PowerPoint presentation as a way to clearly communicate with the audience. So if you don't mind, Mayor, could we have about maybe 2 minutes of just time for them to get them?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay. And while they're going through that motion, I'd just like to present my further articulate their various respective specialties. Okay. Are we ready then? Are we ready? Okay. So, to get right to the point, I'd like to now introduce Joseph Echeverry from SIM Architects, who will go through all the details and go through our perspective on this project. Just to let you know, we all love trees, and we really would like to have trees where we can. Our perspective is one of looking at the totality of the project, holistic approach. looking also at the contextual aspect of this very important gateway feature project to the city, looking at both the landscape, open space, the building, looking at the whole picture. So having said that, thank you, Mayor and City Council. Joseph Echeverry will now go through the other items.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. Some of the information on here kind of repeats what Ryan has already gone through, so I'll kind of just go quickly through that and try to get this done as soon as possible. So go ahead to the first slide. Since our meeting with the ARC and the Planning Commission, as Ryan had stated, we have made a few changes to the site plan. Actually, I have some copies for you, and it'll be coming up in a later slide. We've moved the building a further 3 feet from the property line, squashed the building a little bit to allow for a larger planting area so that the new trees and landscaping on the backside we're proposing has more room to breathe, and the landscape architect can comment on that design. The buffer between the subject parcel and the police station has 5 vertical trees and a new green screen fence, which would have flowering vines, I believe. And again, the landscape architect can comment on that. Just for your information, the green screen fence was reviewed by the police department for their safety issues, and they approved that. We've reduced the paving along Halcyon Road by 375 square feet, and that's all been replaced with new landscaping. And lastly, the north end of the site has been further developed and detailed to allow what we are calling a quasi-public area. There's a bench and a buffering there from the street so that community members and clients can use that area for, if they're walking their dog in the area, a place of rest. Go ahead, next slide, please. So that's a little small, but so you can see here that this is the backside we're talking about, that we've pushed this building this way 3 more feet. And we've gotten more room along the landscape portion here. Currently, there are approximately 12 trees on the site, and what we are proposing has a total of 21 trees. So we feel that, yes, we they're losing some trees, but for the overall site and the overall character of the entire thing, we really are trying to pump up the trees. So we hope that everyone can see that. Go ahead to the. One last thing. On one other slide, I'll point out the Arroyo Grande plan line runs basically through this portion here. So a lot of these trees that you see along that edge would become future street trees. So we're putting those in now, so you won't have to reinstall new street trees later. So we're looking forward to that anticipating that happening. Okay. Just to make a few quick comments on some of the land use codes that were addressed in the Planning Commission hearing regarding height and density, vertical trees and the green screen fence. Also, around the parking lot, we are providing a 3-foot-high wood fence, as is required by the zoning ordinance, and we are also including low shrubs and further trees. As far as the building architecture goes, transition to the city, the ARC strongly... we got a lot of positive feedback from the ARC on the building design. We're trying to use local materials and colors that are indicative of the area. And we're also pushing the height of the building towards the Halcyon side and keeping the lower end near the residential side to, again, fit in with the neighborhood. We feel the project is an integral part of the community, both for the high-quality design and construction that we're providing, the site amenities I briefly touched upon, and then, of course, the important services that the VCA provides. We feel trees are very important. We also feel the animals in the community are very important. We want to, support VCA on that. Also, lastly, we are meeting all the setback requirements of the project. This is the current hospital site, and as you can see, it's basically a concrete box. No windows, no light ventilation. Not the best of working spaces, and it's very cramped. If you've gone through there, you would see that. Also, we'd like to comment on this slide that to build the project where it is now, if we were to build maybe a 2-story structure there, it would be more overbearing than what we're proposing to do, which on the next slide you'll see, is push it back behind. So this view is from across Halcyon Road. You see the row of trees that lead up to the building, and this kind of what we're calling a gateway feature facade on the building, we think is a good design move. This is from the other side, looking at the south side, south property line. Again, lots of trees along that back end. You can kind of get a sense of the vertical fence here, which buffers between the police department and our building. And again, we're trying to pump up trees along Halcyon and along that back side. One of the important things to address of why the trees, other than safety issues, because, again, we're putting the building close to the property line to allow for the parking, the vertical trees, by putting new trees in, we have more control over them by installing root barriers. We can't install root barriers on existing trees. So effectively, that gives us the control for the foundation and from our structural engineer, which I believe Ryan had got a letter. Hopefully, he's included in your report. I guess next slide. At this point, I'll call up Ross Wells. He's our landscape architect. This is his design on the back side. He can talk more about what we're proposing here.
Evening, Mr. Mayor and City Council members. My name is Ross Wells with HWA Landscape Architects, Concord, California. What we tried to do to mitigate for the existing eucalyptus trees, which again would be damaged by the root systems being disrupted, and they've already been disrupted on the police side and would be detrimental later on to falling, we've created what's called a green screen on the back property line area. And this green screen is a manufactured item and would be designed and built just like the way you see it and down here. And we would be growing vines on that, so eventually you'd totally see a green screen. We've gone through a couple iterations with them in order so that they have the openness, that there's no hiding behind it at all, and they can see through it. It also provides, it isn't a wide item, so that because of the restricted area we have on the one side between the VCA hospital and this fence, it wouldn't take up the amount of room that shrubbery would take. We've also added in what's called the brachychiton tree or the bottle tree in that narrow area as well, and it's a fairly narrow growing tree so that in 5 to 6 years it could be the height of the buildings again. So it probably puts about 2 feet a year on that. Around the outside of the property, we would be planting escalonias and shrubs that would be more hedge-like to provide a buffer between the main streets and the parking lot. So even at night, if there was headlights inside the parking lot area, they wouldn't go out into the street area. We're using flowering trees along both streets to add to the street facing. The existing trees along Halcyon Street right now would remain, so they would not be removed except for maybe one that's near the parking lot entry. We tried to keep some of the trees. There's one eucalyptus tree we're keeping on the one side of Halcyon, and we're also keeping the tree on the other street. So we've tried to keep as much of the materials as we can. But as far as landscaping is concerned, we've worked with Wes Connor as far as materials that are indigenous to Arroyo Grande, and tried to create a palette that would be sensitive to growing here. So if you have any questions, I can answer those for you as well. Thank you.
Yeah, we do have one question.
Just to clarify, the green screen will run the entire south side of the property. Would you say it's open where the openings are? There wouldn't be. Could you?
Basically, you can see on this. If I can, you can see the
length
of the building.
We need to get to a mic. I know it's going to be tough. So you can actually, we can see it from the podium.
Okay.
If you can.
Okay, what you see is the green screen. This is a sidewalk out on this side of the property, and so the green screen would start as a low item along here and then step up as you go in through the building and then come down to about a 4-foot level out along Halcyon. And you still have about 10 feet between the end of the screen and the sidewalk. So we wouldn't carry it totally to the sidewalk, but it would encompass the entire length of the back of the building, because here you can see the front of the building and the back of the building here, so it would come close to sidewalk.
And I'm guessing at its highest point, then it's the height of the building, so 10, 12 feet is.
Well, it's actually we've got 2, 4, 6, about 10 feet at this point.
10 feet.
So it's as high as the first level.
Okay.
So, and then it steps down. We want to step it down to accommodate for branching of the trees. So we've kind of placed them so we can have the branching of the trees and wouldn't have to prune the trees so far up.
Okay. And the second question relates to the, you indicated the height of the trees would be the height of the building in 4 to 6 years.
They grow 35 feet high. And what we're recommending is 24-inch boxes at this time, which you'd probably get a 6 to 8 foot tree.
Okay.
And so we'd look at
Halcyon. One of the key things here is because our site is shaped like a triangle, as you get towards the acute angle of that triangle, you have no room really for aisle clearances, because if we were to have a two-way aisle clearance to get from one side of the parking lot to the other side, that itself needs to be about 24 feet wide, which limits the amount of parking you can go around that. So for us, the most efficient way to do that would be have access from both Halcyon and Rena so that you only have an aisle coming in, you know, like this way rather than all the way across the entire site. That was the reason for that. Again, not to stress on this too much because Ryan touched upon it, but, you know, again, the current allowance for one for every 250 square feet is a bit stringent for the animal hospital based on information we have from our traffic engineer. Also, we have street parking, which is not included in that count, but it's directly adjacent to the property. And also, we're claiming some hardships based on the site geometry and the easements that are currently on it. Of course, the Arroyo Grande plan line. Just to reiterate, our floor area ratio, we are way under that, and we can't get any bigger because of the parking. And if the eucalyptus trees were to remain, you've effectively put another setback on the property. If you go to the next slide, Ryan, we can just the last look at the site plan. As you can imagine, as the building moves this way, it has to squash this way as well. So the building becomes squatter. It's going to have to get taller to accommodate more square footage. However, the animal hospital really can't work on a two-level system that great. A lot of the functions need to stay around each other, x-ray, surgery, exam rooms. It's a very specific type of program. So the floor plan is very important in that. So the building shape we have now is, in terms of proportions, really fits the program well. Also, in terms of parking, as you move this way, too, you can start to remove spaces here, but you'd have to start removing spaces along this way as well because, again, you're going towards that acute angle. So that's really why our building is placed this way is because of to allow the amount of parking that we can fit into the site. I think that's the last slide. So unless there are any other questions, I'll pass it back to you guys.
Any other questions?
Can I ask what your parking agreement is?
Yes, Mayor, City Council, we have the official parking agreement form that we will give to the staff.
Can you tell us as part of the public hearing so we don't all have to read it?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Can I just give this to you and you guys can read it? This is the parking agreement. So I'll just give it to you. And then also, Mayor, City Council, we have a model here just for your visualization. We have a three-dimensional model here, massing model, but it gives you the idea. And we also have a material color board if you want to further evaluate the project based on the design. It's available for you. Okay. Thank you very much for your consideration. And also, we'd be available to answer any questions later on after the public hearing. Thank you.
Okay. Any other parties representing the appellant? Dr. Pollack, did you want to make any comments? It's up to you. Just want to give you an opportunity. Okay. All right. No, I'm getting to that. I would like to come forward. Well, that's fine. If you would come to the podium, there's a... Okay.
I'm Dr. Ken Levine, my wife Gaby, who's also in the audience, and I built that clinic that we're speaking of to take down back in 1964-65. At that time, I can honestly say it was the most modern veterinary clinic in San Luis Obispo County and probably northern Santa Barbara County, and it no longer is. We practiced there for 30-some years. And since retirement, our main volunteer involvement has been with the San Luis Obispo Botanical Garden. We're charter members, and My wife's been president, board member, and I'm chairperson of the Education Committee. And I'm not saying that to infer that I'm some expert on trees or anything, but more to indicate our love of trees and plants. That's why those eucalyptus trees were planted there, because we did like different plants. We chose some different plants. But I think they were a mistake, because now I know a lot more about water consumption by trees, which ones are correct for a Mediterranean climate that we live in. Those are not. Those are from Eastern Australia, an area that gets a lot more rain than a Mediterranean climate like Western Australia or Western United California. I really think that trees, and I'm sure that landscape architects are considering this now, can be selected that'll go much more along with the policies of the city of Rio Grande promoting water conservation and the trees that are planted. I don't think those trees are that special that they can't be replaced, especially on this 2-to-1 basis. I would really hope that at this time the City Council would reconsider the Planning Commission's decision. And in that way, I think that we'll have a much more beautiful entrance to the city and a much more beautiful building than we built. It was pointed out there were no windows in it. That was a City Council restriction that we had at that time. And I think we'll have a much better facility to practice veterinary medicine in Rio Grande than we have now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for your comments. Next speaker, once again, we'd appreciate adhering to the 3-minute rule.
Hi, my name's Karen Bishop. I come from a farming and ranching background. VCA is my primary veterinarian. I'm a licensed hobby breeder in the county, and I have been for over 10 years. I haven't come before a council before or done anything like that, so I don't know, you know, what's right or what's wrong. But basically, the facility is staffed by wonderful people, and the veterinarians are excellent. It's a real asset to our community. But the building is very cramped, very crowded, and it's a very, very outdated building. And when I heard that the project was rejected, I don't normally come to anything like this, but I was very, very surprised. It seems to me that as well... And I just ask that you guys reconsider. We have a business owner that wants to make the city better, wants to make his business better, and is willing to pay the price for it. So I ask that you do reconsider. And I might also say I've planted hundreds of trees myself. I also love trees. The trees, one good storm, they're going to fall down. Who knows what they're going to hit? I don't know. But he's willing to replace a lot of the trees. While, again, we all love trees, I don't see why cutting them down and putting the clinic there, it's such a huge gain. Yes, we're going to lose some trees, but look what we're going to be gaining. I mean, it's so clear cut, pardon the pun. I live in Napomo. They've just cut 10,000 trees out of Napomo, and they're doing a beautiful job, you know, in woodlands and everything, you know, getting that re-landscaped and stuff. So I would ask you if you could just reconsider. The community will be thrilled with what they're going to see. I myself, as a client, will be very happy to drive up to that versus what we have now. And I know that you guys want to be proud too of the city we live in. And I just would ask that you give this a second thought and do the right thing, and that is allowing this facility to be there. Thank you for your time. Okay.
Thank you for your comments. Once again, we'd appreciate brevity.
I'm Jan Dreyer, and I've had many animals go to the VCA hospital. And I think it's my money that has contributed to about 50% of this new building that's proposed. And I just want to make a comment about the more emotional side here of myself and my friends that go to this veterinary clinic. We have supported this clinic. We are very pleased with the service that we get, and we hope that this council will consider that as our population has grown, we need improved services, and that you will consider approving this plan. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being brief.
Hi, I'm
Martha from Old Channel, and I've been going to that clinic since Dr. Levine was in here. I didn't recognize him because of his gray hair. But anyway, I just wanted to ask that you do reconsider Dr. Pollack and his staff have always been operating with such integrity from the word go, and I don't see any reason why they would not continue just because of a few trees or whatever. I think that for the good of the community, you all should reconsider, because I think it would be a great injustice to us all and to our animals if you didn't. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Good evening. Trish Curtis. I'm a local realtor. I work with Century 21, and I have come here on behalf of not only enjoying the clinic, but I think I own the East Wing if she owns the West. I have a different outlook on this. I've been an agent for 26 years, and this city is growing rapidly. And as we grow, we need all of the services. And this facility is very inadequately inside with the growth that we're having. And I think with Dr. Pollack's attitude and the things and the caring that he gives to my animals, and I'm sure to millions of other people that have been through that clinic, that a clinic with better...
I started with the Levines, and we have outgrown that building tremendously. I'm a former member of the Architectural Review Committee, and I think this is a beautiful building. I like the way that it's situated on the property so that you're not looking at a parking lot with a building behind it. I think it's a really good use of the land that's available. Having my mother living in Los Osos next to eucalyptus trees, I can tell you they fall left and right when they get to be this size. Power goes out, trees come down, cars and houses get damaged. And I'm concerned when I park in the parking lot. I also hope that you will reconsider. This is a wonderful, viable business, and at a time when we're allowing so many new businesses to come into Arroyo Grande, I think it's really essential that we support the businesses that have been here and have provided the services. You know, it's a service industry. It's a clean industry for our city, and certainly will continue to grow. Thank you for your time and your consideration.
Thank you.
Council. My name is Lynn Hendrickson. I'm a resident of Arroyo Grande. And the lady before said she's a tree hugger. And I guess that'd be the ultimate response to that. I'm a San Luis Obispo County Park Ranger. And my contact with the clinic was on a professional basis. Dr. Pollack was kind enough to take care of a bear that was injured at our lake. And lucky for us, the bear was small. She was a juvenile because it was a small facility that he was dealing with, and he did save her. She's 175 pounds now. She said, I don't know why I'm nervous. I'm talking in front of people all the time at work. 175 pounds, and I couldn't imagine him having to help us with a bear of that size in this facility. So I think it would be great if you get the opportunity to expand to help us in the future.
Good. Thank you.
Hi. Rebecca Fay, Arroyo Grande. I'm with Pacific Wildlife Care. I'm a rehabber, and VCA has put in countless hours helping us before hours, during business hours, and after business hours, putting back together birds and animals that we bring in to them that are injured and hurt. And they really do, you know, all this work is pro bono. They have a facility that's very outdated. It's always packed. They need the space. I'm a biologist. We're talking about eucalyptus trees, which I don't understand why we'd even be talking about it. They're an invasive species. They're called widowmakers for a reason. They may be pretty, but I think that the end justifies the means big time here. They're a great business and one we should be proud of and one that we should back in any way we can, in my opinion. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Honorable Mayor and members of the Council. My name is Eileen Mackin-Getzoff. I moved to the Mesa 26 years ago and fell in love with eucalyptus trees. They are gorgeous. There is nothing like a eucalyptus tree. And as Dr. Levine stated, my emotions were misplaced. I didn't just fall for them. They fell for us. and they fell anywhere and everywhere. And I soon found looking for something to discuss because last night's subject was premises liability. And I looked at the agenda item, and I had my issue, and I won't waste your time laying out the particulars. You've heard that, the police department, the falling trees. But I will note that it's ironic that the city includes in the conditional use permit an indemnity clause, because we will let you build this thing. We will demand that you build it in a certain way, but we're not going to take responsibility. And my students were quite interested, and the key question was, what kind of trees? I said, eucalyptus trees. Oh. So we proceeded to discuss that, and they said, well, you know, they will name the big pockets. Well, yes, we will name the deep pockets. And so I do not know the current management of the facility except for by his reputation. And I do my pro bono work with animal charities, and we take advantage of him. And so I request that you take advantage of him. The offer is excellent, and I ask that you consider it. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments.
Ferrara, members of the council. My name is Elaine Anthony, and I'm here representing the Central Coast Animal Protection Society, also known as CCAPS. And first, I'd like to say that Eileen is a hard act to follow. She's quite a professional. CCAPS is a nonprofit humane organization which was founded in 1989, and our office is located over on El Camino Real here in the city. We've worked with employees of Arroyo Grande on various animal-related projects for many years, including the trapping, vaccinating, and sterilization of the cats in the parks and the creek behind City Hall. As president of CCAPS, I'm representing not only our board of directors tonight, but also many of our members and volunteers who are residents of your city. There are 8 veterinary clinics in the South County, 4 of which are located in Arroyo Grande. Each year, during the 2.5-month spay day promotion held in San Luis Obispo County, VCA has been the only South County vet hospital to consistently participate, offering a 35% discount on fees for pet sterilization. I think these are little different things that you need to know about this hospital. They also offer low-cost spay-neuter clinics every Wednesday year-round. They hold low-cost vaccination clinics every month. VCA gives free services for wildlife, injured birds, and other injured animals in peril. Other clinics in this South County can't say that, so they're pretty special. Of the 8 clinics in the area, it can be truly stated that VCA Animal Hospital has given more back to the citizens of this community than any other vet clinic. Their expansion is drastically needed, not only because of increased population, but due to the charitable work that they do for the citizens of Arroyo Grande. And approve of the project with its conditions. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment.
Good evening, City Council members. My name is Jeannie Nix, and I'm here to speak in favor of the expansion of the animal hospital. I'm standing here waiting my turn, and I notice your sign, Tree City USA Arbor Day Foundation, and I'm thinking, what better support for your adherence to Tree City USA than to end up with twice as many trees on a fairly small lot, and trees that will be attractive and fresh and new. Also, I'd like to take just a moment to say that I also, in listening to the architect's report about the 2 driveways, one from Halcyon, one from Rena, I bring my pets there all the time, and I have been for 3 decades, and the just the configuration of that lot, it really helps to be able to kind of go in one way and out the other. So I would say that that they're very correct from a user point of view in their two driveways. But I just want to say over and over that all of the doctors, from the Levines to every doctor that my pets have been seen by at that clinic, they're fabulous. And their clinic is obviously overstretched and needs more space. I've spent a lot of time lately in their waiting room with my sick pet, and I noticed that they're an award-winning clinic. They have a sign, they've 2005 best VCA hospital in the region, and I think that that's something that's important to support as well. This is such a needed project, and I've had many pets over the years, and I think I'm speaking here for each of them who have been in the kindness and care of the physicians there, the veterinarians there at that clinic, and I do very much ask you to please allow this project as it's been amended, because it is so important.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'll be brief. I agree with the previous speaker. She's my wife. I think the trees seem to be the crucial issue.
Excuse me. Don't mean to interrupt. Could we get your name, please?
Ed Waggy. And when I park there on a windy day, I'm concerned about the safety issue. I think it's been mentioned previously. Certainly changing the trees from tall eucalyptus that are prone to fall, especially next to your police facility there. I would strongly urge that you uphold the appeal and grant Dr. Pollack and his staff to have a much better facility. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Fran Henriksen, and I live in Arroyo Grande, and everybody has said pretty much what I wanted to say. But I have one other thing. I have parrots, and we don't have anybody close by to take care of our birds. And Dr. Pollack has actually saved two of my parrots' lives, one at 6 o'clock at night. They're open late.
That wasn't the macaw that we were talking about that you were looking at during the earthquake, was it? That was the one? You got to take another look at that bird because they're supposed to be able to sense seismic waves. Okay.
Hi, my name is Rihanna Cox, and I work at VCA. I just wanted to make a quick note. I myself do not actually park in the parking lot during the winter for fear of, you know, eucalyptus trees or branches falling. And I know that some of the other employees also do not. And I just can't imagine having a building there and having the trees fall in the building when I don't even park there during the winter. So I just wanted to make that known, that that is a concern, a serious concern to the people who park there every day. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Mayor and Rio Grande Council Member. I'm Byron Thinger. I'm here with my wife, Magda, but we live in Pismo Beach. But we, of course, go to VCA for our pets. I would like to ask a question to the council. I don't think anyone here today or tonight has endorsed the Planning Commission's request to deny the appeal and uphold the Planning Commission's denial of the conditional permit. I think everyone here is saying, no. Do it the other way. Get rid of it. So the question is, okay, let's suppose that you vote to approve the appeal. Does that conjure up another series of meetings to go through this whole episode of looking at the building plans that I've seen here tonight, the architectural plans? What happens if you do not follow the Planning Commission's recommendation? I'd like to know what would happen as a result of that.
We will note your question, and I'm sure we're going to answer it before the evening's out.
Very good.
And if we don't, then you can jump up and ask it again.
It sure seems to me like that would be the obvious choice tonight. But I also would like to comment that there's been a huge expenditure already for architectural plans, landscape plans, parking issues. I imagine the cost is fairly substantial. And so we have a businessman or business regime going through a lot of expenses just to try to make a case, and some trees are blocking the issue. At least I think that's one of the reasons. I'd like to look at the slide that the Planning Commission said this is the reason for our denying the use of that conditional permit, because it seems very sleazy to me. Those two action items, I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't understand what their reasons were. They need to be more clarified before I could understand why the Planning Commission opposes this whole plan. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening, Mayor. That you can see from the freeway are not your everyday blue gum eucalyptus. The Western Garden Landscape Book calls the Eucalyptus nicolai, quote, a garden or street tree. Their beauty is in the fine textured foliage and billowing willowy form. It also calls the Eucalyptus polyanthemus a, quote, popular landscaping and street tree. If you have been out to the site, you will agree that these trees are quite beautiful and that they do a great job as a visual buffer between the police department modular building and the existing vet building, as well as screening for the neighbors to the east. Another benefit is the shade that they provide for both the buildings and the parking lots. The Center for Urban Forest Research states that dollar for dollar, large trees deliver big savings and other benefits we can't ignore. Small trees deliver far fewer benefits. In fact, research at the center shows that their benefits are up to 8 times less. Furthermore, the Center for Urban Forest Research states that compared to a small tree, a large tree has bigger impact on conserving energy, mitigating an urban heat island, and cooling a parking lot. They do more to reduce stormwater runoff, extend the life of streets, improve local air, soil, and water quality, reduce atmospheric carbon dioxide, provide wildlife habitat, increase property values, enhance the attractiveness of a community, and promote human health and well-being. When it comes to trees, size really does matter. We can't forget the already established trees. These older trees provide immediate benefits. The investment that community members made 30, 40, and 50 years ago is producing dividends today. Dr. McPherson, director of the Center for Urban Forest Research, points out that, quote, since upfront costs to establish these large trees have already been made, keeping these trees healthy and functional is one of the best investments we can make. In most areas of the country, citizens can care for their largest trees for as little as up to $13 a year per tree. And each tree returns an average of $65 in energy savings. Cleaner air, better managed stormwater, extended life of streets, and higher property values. Small trees do not come close to providing the same magnitude of benefits. For all of the above reasons, I am hoping the applicant can reposition the proposed building and come back with a project that retains these mature trees. I'm really hoping for a win-win situation where we can have the VCA building and we can also keep the trees. Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight.
Okay. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. I'm Gary Sherquist, 228 Short Street. I am an architect. And as you know, I'm a member of the ARC, the Architectural Review Committee. I also, along with Kristen, am co-chair of the Tree Guild. I'm going to ad-lib a little bit here from my prepared text because of some of the fears that were brought up regarding the falling of the trees. These are not blue gum trees, but how to accommodate the VCA while saving the trees. And I spent some time this afternoon reading excerpts from the staff report and reviewing the VCA site plan. Unfortunately, I was unable to attend the ARC meeting on April 3rd when the project came before us. The ARC recommended approval of the project with conditions on a 2-to-1 vote. Two members were absent, myself being one. In the Planning Commission staff report that you have tonight, they sum up the ARC's conditions as follows. The ARC directed that the parking plan be revised to provide two separate lots. I think staff alluded to this. One access from Halcyon and the other from Marina. The northern parking lot, and in doing that, they would eliminate the connecting driveway and make that a landscape buffer. Taking a portion of that connecting driveway, we can put a parking place there. That then would, by adding that parking place, that would allow one parking place to be removed on the east side of the property, and that would allow the building to be moved 9 feet further north, which would allow 14 feet for the trees. The applicant's architect said he's narrowed the building down by 3 feet, so that would get us 14 plus 3 or 17 feet from the property line to the building. We haven't taken anything away from the VCA except two little corners of the building where they meet the diagonal line on the Halcyon side. So I want to see the building built. I want to see the trees saved. I think it can be done. There may be roots still going out that far, so we can use an alternate foundation system, such as caissons and a grade beam, to span over the over the roots. Thank you. Okay. I hope I've helped.
Good. Thank you. Anyone else who would like to come forward?
My name is Teresa Andrews Herleman. I've been a resident of the Rio Grande for 15 years and plan to be here probably the rest of my life. I don't have any interest in seeing the city become asphalt and cement, but I'm here in support of Dr. Pollack and the VCA South County Animal Hospital. I suppose beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and even though the two prior speakers believe that those trees are beautiful, I think there are many beautiful trees, and I personally don't particularly like those. I think others would support that statement. The Planning Commission's members expressed concern about the visual and coming into the city here. I took a few extra trips down that street this week, and I think I would welcome this vision as compared to the auto repair yard, half an acre of parking lot, and an aging strip mall that is there now.
Far-reaching perspective, you need to include that in this project. And as far as looking at cost, the original owners of Levine's put those trees in. I doubt there was much cost involved, but the present owner is willing to completely front the cost of replacing those trees, which in a foreseeable amount of time will be just as aesthetic and far safer. The other comment I have is for the parking lot, if you force them to complete the project by splitting the lot, uses a reference to the post office in Napomo, whose parking lot only has one driveway. It is an absolute disaster. There are wrecks in that parking lot where people back into each other's, and I believe that a fairly high traffic parking lot should have two exits where people can circulate through. So I thank you, and please look ahead, look at the total perspective. Trees are a long-term subject. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Last call. Okay, then we will close the public hearing portion of this item, and I want to thank all of you who came up to the podium. This is probably, for an issue that generated multiple speakers, is probably one of the most orderly public comment periods I've ever witnessed in my almost 8 years. So I want to thank you for for following the guidelines and for making your comments brief and to the point. And with that, we will bring this back to the council. And I think we will start to my left with Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Well, I definitely think it's safe to say that the VCA is a good corporate citizen. I don't think anybody is here to dispute that. The question really is about whether or not this project can be completed and at the same time preserve some trees that I think many in the community do actually value highly. For me, I can't help but look at this project and know that probably 6-8 months ago we were dealing with the police station, and at the time when we were looking at whether or not the trees were going to remain, I felt that it was the trees versus the police, and I really didn't like the place that I was in that day, and now I feel that it's the trees versus the pets and the doctors and the citizens, and I really don't think, as I felt then, that it has to be an either or. I really felt that at that time there were alternatives than what was being presented, and by working with the police department, we were able to find a solution that I think met both the needs of the citizens who wish to preserve the trees and the needs of the police station. I believe that exists today again. I'm bothered a little that when all that discussion of the trees was going on, that the applicant chose to, I guess, I'm not sure if ignore is the correct word, but basically move forward with the idea that the council expressed
15 to 20 feet. I think the edge of the current parking lot is probably 12 feet from the trunks. And on the southeastern corner of the parking lot, you can see some buckling beyond that point. So the roots are probably at least 15 feet from the property line.
So we're talking about possibly moving the building an additional 8 to 12 feet, depending on from where it is currently being proposed?
That's correct. The plans that were distributed had a 5-foot, and I think we heard that it was a 3-foot additional to that, so that's 8 feet. So probably at least another 12 feet to get there.
So I guess I look at that and I say, I for one would be willing to look at, I guess basically not require the same standard of parking here if we're looking for a give and take, in that I do look at Rena and there is a fair amount of street parking available there. So in my mind, while I know we can't per se count it in calculations, the homes across the street actually do not have much additional need, and they actually have their own street parking also because there are very few driveways there. So in my, it would appear that we could move this building 12 feet, possibly lose a corner, which is going to be a very nominal amount of square footage that we're talking about here, and it would be a complete win-win. I don't, for one, see the access as a necessity, but that I would leave to a traffic engineer before I would make the determination. I'd be more concerned that in the future, when housing is widened, that we could actually, that could be more of a difficult place to enter and exit. So there may be some upside to reconfiguring the parking lot to basically come in off Arena. But basically, I am going to uphold the denial, or I always get the, when we're doing appeals, I'm going to support the Planning Commission's decision. I'll put it that way. Because I do believe that while I am in favor of the VCA getting a new building, and I'm not even saying I wouldn't be in favor of them continuing to use the existing building while we build a new building, I do believe there are alternatives to what is being proposed tonight that we can end up with a win-win in our community. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I've got a couple of questions for staff on this one, too, I think. And maybe not just for staff, but for the applicant. How practical is it to move the building, and is it possible to move the building?
I don't even want to attempt to answer that. Not an architect or an engineer. I don't know what would be involved.
I have the applicant's representative answer that.
On that point, I'll have Joseph Echeverry from our office, and then Wes Connor, if you could come about the location of the building relative to.
Just to kind of address a comment that was just made regarding moving the building, Wes actually can probably comment on this, but originally the number that was thrown out was 20 feet. Right now our building is 8 feet from the property line, which the trees bisect, so it would actually be from the tree, so it's going to be a little bit more than that. But if we were to move the building, my guess is we'd probably lose three spaces because study. Maybe Wes can comment on how far from the trees we need to build it.
Yes, I think the Wes Connor, I'm a consulting arborist and professor of ornamental horticulture for 28 years at Cal Poly. I'm a tree lover. I should be supporting keeping those trees, but I can be realistic and understand that those eucalyptus trees, although they're not blue gums, they are dangerous, and especially so if we have to put a building in there, and we should. The comment came up some time ago about how far a building could be put from those trees and be safe. And I wasn't aware that it was going to be a two-story building. I was thinking in terms of a one-story building as the one that is there now. And I, off the top of my head, I said about 20 feet. And that's, I think, where the that idea came from. Since then, I've recognized that I'm way off. The structural roots in those trees probably go out at least 25 or 30 feet. And if they put a two-story building in there, I understand the foundation has to go down and cut those roots at that point. The roots on the other side of the trees have already been cut by the police facility, and I think you're looking at a double danger of those trees failing. Was there any other question about that?
I have one other question about the trees. I read a lot of the supporting material in here from the staff report and documentation, and some of it talked about these trees being near the end of their useful life. What is the useful life on this variety of tree?
I have researched that. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
That's quite all right.
That was it. I've researched that, and I've never found any data that tells us how long Eucalyptus polyanthus and the other one are going to live, especially in this environment. We know about how old they are right now. I would suspect that they are reaching their maturity. Maturity, what does that mean? I'm mature. How long am I going to live? I don't know. I'd like to say another 20 years, another 30 years. I'm not sure about those trees. They are mature. And I suspect if they get damaged anymore, they're going to lose some of that maturity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That said, then I think I can address my issues and my comments on this project. One of the things we heard from Ed was that we came up with a solution for the police station to save the trees. And from what I'm hearing, that solution really didn't work because it damaged the trees. It damaged the roots, and we really didn't find a successful resolution to that. It's put the trees in jeopardy, even without this building going forward or the project going forward. It sounds to me like it's not really practical to move this building without really sacrificing a lot of the parking structure that's going to be provided, the parking space. I know my animals are treated at this facility also. And I know I enter off of Halcyon, and I always exit out onto Rena. And I find that that's the safe way to go. So I would like to see any project that we end up would continue to have the flow through there. I don't want to see two separate parking lots. I want to see the ability to access from one coming in off of Halcyon and exiting the other way. Particularly once Halcyon gets expanded, if we got two lanes in each direction, the traffic is going to get more intense than it is now. It's going to be tougher to get in and out of that parking lot. It seems to me that those trees are nearing maturity. They may last another 20 years. They may last another 30 years. Certainly if this building goes in, it's going to put those trees at risk. Now, going back to what the Planning Commission came up with, also we have to look at what are we trying to really determine here. And I think that what we're trying to determine is whether or not we can successfully reach the findings for the conditional use permit. Now, I'd like to address what the Planning Commission had to say about that. The first finding they could not support was the proposed use is permitted within the subject district pursuant to the provisions of this section and complies with all the applicable provisions of this title, the goals and objectives of the Arroyo Grande General Plan, and the development policies and standards of the city. And they found that it did not on two points. One was on conservation and open space point 1.4. And that says to locate structures, roads, and grading on proportions of a site so as to minimize visual impact, as well as locate developments below prominent ridge lines and hilltops such that they are not silhouetted against the sky. And this all goes back to the conservation and open space objective, which is to protect visually accessible scenic resources. Now, I went back out to the site and looked it over again, and I don't see that the removal of these trees would affect a visually accessible scenic resource. The trees themselves would have to be considered to be the visual resource, and only the trees, because they're not blocking anyone else's view of anything except the cemetery. So I can't support that. I disagree with the Planning Commission on that point. Second point they came up with was land use 11 under growth management, LU2-4, which is require that new developments be designed so as to respect the views from existing developments, provide view corridors which are oriented towards existing or proposed community amenities such as a park, open space, or natural features. Well, what we have at this location across the street is a church, telephone facility, the cemetery, and on the south side we have residential structures. And those residential structures, their view is the cemetery and the church. I don't find, and this again goes back to LU 11, which is promote a pattern of land use that protects the integrity of existing land uses, area resources, and infrastructure, and involves logical jurisdictional boundaries with adjacent communities in the county. Now, I don't see this as a boundary issue at all. And I don't see this, I would not see the placement of this building and this project the way it's proposed, with the replacement of trees to compromise that. So, I disagree with the Planning Commission's decision on that point. Their final point was land use 11-2.5, which is design development projects within the city of Arroyo Grande to provide screening as necessary to shield neighboring properties from the adverse effects of that development. Well, I think that the applicant has done an adequate job of doing just that. They've screened the building with the new trees. They provided a nice streetscape scene on the Halcyon side as well as back on the Rena side. So I think that they've done that. So, I disagree with the Planning Commission on that. So I can find that finding can be met. The other finding that they couldn't meet was finding number 3, which was that the site is suitable for the type and intensity of use or development that is proposed. And the point was made that although the site is flat, the proposed development meets all applicable development code requirements, it does not relate to the prevailing existing or planned scale of adjacent development. Additionally, the proposed setbacks do not provide an adequate buffer between dissimilar uses, nor do the proposed setbacks from street and adjacent properties relate to the scale of the structure and to the width of the street. Well, the adjacent building is the police department, and we've got long-term plans to make that into a two-story building. So this building, although it's two stories, it's only two stories in a very small portion of the building. I find that will be consistent. As to the setbacks, they meet all of the requirements for the district in which it's placed. So I can find, that this will also meet that conditional use permit approval criteria. So bottom line is I have to get my thoughts straight here to the same way you do, Ed. I will support the project going forward, and I would approve the appeal. Thank you.
Uh,
Okay. I have to ask a favor. If you could hold your applause until we're done. And I also want you to hold your boos until we're done, okay? Okay. Councilmember Dickens.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a couple questions of staff first, and then I'll go into my understanding of the issue. Ryan, can you explain what the Arroyo Grande plan line is and how that represented on the proposal?
It's just a plan line that's shown on the property as to the ultimate future width of Halcyon Road. And so whenever a project comes forward for a discretionary review, we look at that type of thing, and a condition of the approval would be dedication for that width. So it basically just shows what the city envisions down the road as far as the width of adjacent roads. And so we would secure the right-of-way at that time, but not necessarily improve the road to that width at that time.
You noticed that the applicant or the appellant has brought forth some conceptual landscape plans and so forth. Has staff had a chance to review this?
Not anything that was in the presentation tonight as far as the additional 3 feet or anything like that.
Been modifications that were not the things that were presented to us this evening, the Planning Commission did not consider. Is that correct?
They did not consider. They would be considered minor alterations to a project, not significant in the scope of something that the ARC would be reviewing at the stage of the final parking and landscape plan. I don't believe the mass or square footage of the building or anything like that has been changed.
Well, let me go into the important issues that I see this evening. First of all, I think it's important for both the public and those at home sitting here watching this wonderful entertainment that it's the services for our community, the services that the VCA hospital provides for us are extremely important to both the community and our animals. It certainly is apparent that the community has certainly outgrown its current building, and that is something that we need to address. And I think that this council and certainly myself supports an increased facility. There's no question that Dr. Pollack and the VCA hospital are valuable service and are well loved by this community. I think it's important that the community understand that at the point that there is a potential denial or approval, whichever it goes, doesn't mean that the project necessarily goes away. It's what we have to review as what's been presented to us, and we have to take into all that information. And apparently, you know, there seems to be a real focus on the tree issue, and to me the tree issue is not the issue, although it's a issue. And I think it's important that you understand my perspective. First of all, one of the appellant has come to us and has made the appeal based on one of the issues is that the Planning Commission who reviewed this was not a full Planning Commission. And I would also note that the architectural review was not a full commission as well. Only 3 members sat on that. And when I first looked at this particular project, and it's interesting that the architect talked about the existing building as being a concrete box. Well, when I look at the current project that's being proposed, I see a larger concrete box, and I see the fact that it has no architectural distinction. It has a lack of luster in regards to the particular site that it's going to be on. And I think it's a shame that we didn't have a full architectural review committee actually look at this particular architectural design. The problem that I have this evening is that we're looking at an appeal of a Planning Commission decision. And the first thing that I was presented with is modifications to that appeal. I haven't had a chance to review this. I received this information on Thursday, looked it over, reviewed this information, and now the information has been changed. And that upsets me, actually. And I think it's important that this should have been in our packet last Thursday for us to look at the modifications. I think it's important for us because if I uphold the applicant and move this project forward, I haven't seen the palette of colors. I haven't seen the elevations to this particular project. All we're really dealing with this evening is folks coming up, and I'd certainly appreciate the fact that we need a better services for our animals in this community, and I wholeheartedly support that. I wholeheartedly support the community efforts that Dr. Pollack has put in. I think that he's a wonderful man. He's a great community member, and I think that this is something that we need to work with him. But I have a problem this evening supporting a modified plan, which I haven't had a review. When I look at this just from a cursory standpoint, in the future, and Ryan, if you can go back to the one that was just up prior to this, that one. What we're looking at is a wonderful rendition of what the proposed entrance to this particular project is going to look like. First of all, the trees that we're looking, we don't even see a building. We see trees. Those trees are gone. When we widen Halcyon Road, if I'm looking at this particular plan line, they're gone. Well, let me see. I'm not sure where those purple things are going, but that's what it looks like to me. Excuse me. That's all right. Maybe, and you know what the problem might be? Is my interpretation might be wrong, but I don't have time to review this because this wasn't given to me last Thursday. Okay, and I'm not here to argue with the community this evening, but we need to be able to review this in an appropriate manner. Those trees are also about 10 years old. And I think that this is not a tree issue versus pets. My feeling tonight is I don't really want to deny this, and I don't want to approve it. I want this to go through the process that we can adequately review this. I think there can be some modifications. I think that we could have an increased VCA hospital on this site to serve the community's needs. And I think that we can meet the needs of saving as many trees as possible, which is, yes, a issue. But we can also address the issue of size and scale in the community. I think that the size and scale for this particular building, from at least what I've seen thus far, is a little out of scale. We have a parcel, an unusually shaped parcel that has constraints. And what we're trying, even though the building and the parking and such meets the development code, I think that we need to look at what's appropriate for this particular site, and I think we're trying to put too much on a constrained site. And that seems to be part of my issue. So at this stage of the game, I would probably support continuing this item so that we can bring back the entire project so that we can look at it, or we can direct staff to bring it back, go through the architectural review, have the Planning Commission look at the modifications with a full five folks and bring it through the process, and maybe the appeal won't be necessary. But that would be my recommendation this evening. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Well, I guess I can first by saying that I think Councilman Costello dealt with most of the specific issues that I had with the position taken by the Planning Commission, that the denial related to the trees as being the visual resource, the loss here doesn't justify the gain. I also shared his insight on whether it's compatible with the adjacent neighborhood. I think that's a real stretch of the logic there of what is in the general plan. So I'd agree with his interpretation there. But I also can share some of Councilman Dickens' concerns about exactly what we're looking at tonight. I'm taking the architect at his word that in fact the trees become street trees in the future, which is what we were stated, but I think it's also true that if you draw a 6-foot line on this colored map, that a couple of these trees disappear. But I do think that the opening up of the planning area between the police department and the back of this building is one of the real keys to making the rest of the landscape work. So I could go either way here. I could actually support sending the project back to architectural review for review of the landscape to make sure that, in fact, all those issues that we've discussed or that Councilman Dickens brought up are, in fact, in place, and leave that to architectural review to make that decision. And if there's a problem there, then I suppose it could come back to us. I did vote to protect these trees when we looked at it with the police department. I did that because I didn't think that the damage done by or the risk, if you will, from the trees and the damage done by the police department justified removing 40-year-old trees that are, in fact, as pointed out by the Tree Guild here, do think that really the shrubs that we put up in many places and call trees would never accomplish. But because they're eucalyptus, they're, you know, if these were live oaks or you know, oak, native oak species, then certainly we would be providing more protection here. But I don't think that the relocation of this building to provide even a 15 or 18 foot buffer would be justified to save even mature trees like these, since they are not protected as oak trees. So I could uphold the appeal this evening, or I could also support a continuance in order to make sure that, in fact, the specifics here are taken care of. That does remind me of one question. Can you give us a quick synopsis of what the agreement with the church is as far as parking goes? Is it five spaces? Is it?
The letter primarily provides for parking off-site during construction. There is no specific number of spaces. The church is directly across Halcyon, so
it's only during construction.
Yes, only during construction.
Add to the ultimate parking.
As it relates to this particular issue at this time, it's possible that the church would also be cooperative in a longer-term parking arrangement if that were sought. They have a substantial vacant parking lot during the bulk of the week. And
but at this point, what's before us tonight, there's not a long-term parking.
No, there is not a provision for a long-term parking agreement.
That was my number one concern with this, was that although I think if we were looking at this without seeing the operation in place and looking at the parking here, that we would say, oh, gee, one per 300 seems like plenty. But when you look at this parking lot, I drive by this space a lot, this parking lot's always full. And I think the reason is obvious. It's a very well-supported business here in town. And I guess that kind of cuts both ways. Because it's a popular business, then it really needs more parking. On the other hand, I do recognize that there is a lot of street parking available on Rena here that without impacting the residential neighborhood next door. So, like as I said, I could vote to uphold the appeal. I could also see a continuance here or returning this for another review with the changes as proposed. I could go either way this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Well, the first thing that you should know is that I don't get paid any more than the rest of these guys do. And I hate it when I'm sort of in the middle here, but it goes with the territory. There were several comments made this evening that both by my colleagues and also by members of the community that I wanted to put a bit of emphasis on. And I certainly want to underscore the fact that this is, we have two separate issues here. I don't think you heard any member of the council speak against the VCA expansion. I don't think this is an issue of integrity. This is not an issue of questioning service or quality of service. That's off the table. The issue here is trying to figure out a way to strike a balance. And that's what we're about. And I, too, was a past, well, I wasn't the patient, but my beagle was, and Dr. Pollack and I both wrestled with that 22-pound monster, and I think we both lost. But the issue here isn't about the services for VCA. I was very pleased with the staff there. Had I maintained, the ownership of the Beagle, I would continue to go there. But I think if we look at the comment that I believe Mr. Echeverry made early on in the presentation, he indicated that trees were important to the community, and then he also indicated that so were animals. And I wanted to underscore the fact that I agreed with that comment. Both are important. And I don't think we should be put in a position of having to trade one for the other. And I know that the sort of the numbers of the presentations, if you were keeping track of who was here and who presented, who was for the trees, who was against the trees, I just want to kind of remind all of you that we had to work really hard for that banner up there, and it's not something that we take lightly. And it's something that we're very proud of, even though there are many, many tree cities in California. That being said, the fact that there are other cities that maintain themselves as Tree City USA, that means that their efforts have become, the outcome of their efforts have resulted in striking a balance. I believe we have not reach that balance here on this particular project. There was some discussion about, well, should we move the building? Should we adjust the what's going to happen when we excavate down? What we're hearing and what I've heard from more than one source is that there is new technology out there specifically for these kinds of situations where you want to expand, you want to reposition buildings, but you have trees growing in and around the location. What do you do? Do you take a standard approach and excavate like you would if there were no impairments to the site, or do you use some of the newer techniques in designing foundations? That technology is available to us. There's been some discussion about, and I don't want to dwell too long on the nature of the trees, because it's clear. I mean, you can listen to the nature of the comments this evening. Some people like them, some people don't. Some people like eucalyptus, others don't. So it truly is in the eye of the beholder. Be that as it may, if we were to, I guess, spread the opinion out across the community, you know, who knows what kind of feedback we would have. The bottom line here, when we talk about whether they're mature, whether they've reached their limit, all we have to go on, as Councilmember Dickens indicated, is what's written in the staff report. That's all we have in front of us. So so if I look at the staff report, I'm looking at the fact that, according to the staff report, the lifespan on this particular species of tree, if you will, is 50 to 75 years. And I'm also looking at the staff report that says the trees are about 35 to 40 years old, somewhere around in that. And maybe, is that correct? Somewhere around in there. Okay. So who knows what the lifespan is? Could be as much as 35 more years that they would be around. In terms of the soil configuration and their resilience to weather, I have to tell you, I was concerned when the Paso Robles earthquake struck in this area. And this conversation I had with Dr. Pollack yesterday, I was actually standing in front of the police department at the time in the street. We had the street closed off when that earthquake hit. And it was a strong jolt. A lot of people lost their balance. We were dedicating a memorial on that particular day, and it's one of those days where you'll always remember where you were. And while there was sort of different patterns of damage throughout the city, those trees held up. The comments with regard to the police station, I think several of us went out to the site and saw what happened, and it was not something that we would have wished for. On one tree in particular, there was, I guess, what could best be termed a premature action on the part of one of our workers, and he cut a significant support branch on one of the trees. But the rest of the trees, from what I can see, were not damaged that much. And in fact, what we did was we went back in, if I'm correct, Rob, went back in and filled in a lot of the area that was excavated adjacent to those trees, with the exception of that one. There was no way that you could put back a support root that was, I think, roughly in some places three feet, 4 feet in diameter. So it was tragic that was cut. But be that as it may, I believe that the majority of the damage that was done is repairable, with the exception of that one tree, which, according to the staff report, once again, we should monitor. The other thing that I want to emphasize is, again, some of the comments that Councilmember Dickens made a moment ago, and that is what we have in front of us, in my mind, is not a complete picture. And I think this issue is so important. It's important to the community that we need, I think, to close some loops. Now, I realize we're not looking at a final plan here. All we're looking at is renderings. We're looking at architectural renderings. We're looking at a dimensional model over here. But what we're not seeing is elevations. What we're not seeing is material. What we're not seeing is color. What we're not seeing is what we and have not had time to review is are all of the things that I'm sure you came prepared to share with us, but we're being put in a place this evening to accelerate something that we have not taken a good look at. I don't like to do business that way. I never have. I'll give you a comparison. A few weeks ago, we had a project up on James Way. I didn't support that particular project in the final vote, but what we had in front of us was a complete picture. And it probably cost the applicant a fair amount of money, but it was a comprehensive picture of what that was going to look like on the site, on the setting, compared to the surrounding neighborhood, everything. We had it, and we had time to review it. I don't feel comfortable this evening because I don't think we're in that place. Now, as far as summarizing, and I know you're probably glad to hear that, in terms of summarizing my comments this evening, do I want the VCA hospital to expand? Absolutely. Do I want them to stay on this site? Absolutely. Am I willing to work on some of the parking issues? You bet. One thing that's working to our advantage here is that we have some flexibility. There are no clear-cut standards for veterinary hospital use. And I would be more than willing to work on adjusting what the parking requirement is if we could come up with a balance on perhaps positioning the building so that we could work towards a win-win. Now, if we do continue this, and I think that's going to be the direction that I'm going to lean in, I would like to challenge our design folks here this evening to take this back and look at a way in which we might be able to strike that balance. If you come back to us and you say, it absolutely, positively cannot happen, and here is why, then I'd be willing to take another look at it. But I don't think we're there yet. I think there's some room for adjustments here on both sides. So, I'm going to go along at this point, and I'll leave it to a motion of the council that... And we can either do it with a continuance, or we can do it with an upholding of the Planning Commission's decision. I would much rather just continue this if that option is available to us, and allow for a submittal to come back and some of these questions to be answered. I would also appreciate, and I know that they're expensive, and I know that a lot of work goes into them, but the dimensional model that we see, if there's a way you might be able to incorporate some of the color onto those, like we have seen on other dimensional models that have been brought forward, that would be helpful as well. I know Councilmember Dickens' comments, concerns, and I know most of you can't see it, but we're looking straight at that, what amounts to sort of a boxy configuration that's being proposed in this one elevation that we see. I guess my guidance at this point would be figure out a way to soften it a little bit. So those would be my comments at this point, and I would prefer, if it's possible, I don't know, I'll defer to council on this, or city attorney at this moment, if that's something we have leverage or flexibility to do.
You have a wide range of options. You could continue it to a date certain, giving staff direction as to what specific issues you feel need additional review and have us report back and essentially continue to a date certain and then take action.
Okay.
You could continue to a date certain and delegate certain components to ARC if you feel that's more appropriate to have their review and comment. You could deny the project without prejudice. It would then return to the Planning Commission and start over again. Excuse me. I think it depends on sort of how great you feel the modifications to the project are and whether they can be dealt with at this level. The changes are small enough that they can be dealt with on this level based on a continuance and additional review, or whether the project really needs to go back. And I guess what I'm hearing from you is you feel it can stay up here with some time, and those issues can be elaborated on by staff and by the applicant and his representatives.
Well, I'll defer to my colleagues. It would seem to me that some aspects could be sent back to the ARC. What I would not like to see happen is to have this thing continue to cycle through a series of meetings. I would much rather have this thing focused on certain issues like shifting of the building. We can work with that. If there's a different foundation approach, we can work with that. If we're going to lose a couple of parking places, we can work with that. So if those are the issues that are hanging up us reaching a balance and allowing this project to go forward, I think we can work with it. And I would much rather have us maintain that. I don't know how the rest of you feel. But I'd much rather have it, if we can shortcut it and still cover the basis, that's where I'd like to go with it.
Well, certainly that's one of the council's options, is to continue to a date certain. Again, it depends on how serious and how significant you feel the changes are, and you'll probably have to specify whether you feel staff should be doing that review or whether it should go back to certain components should go back to ARC.
Okay. Well, let me ask the rest of my colleagues here.
Well, I guess I have no problem in principle what you're saying. The concern that I have is the aesthetic issue appears to me to be something maybe larger than more of the mechanics of trees and foundation and parking, and whether that really is more appropriate to be. I'm even more inclined to say, besides just ARC planning, I think one of the problems that I think everybody feels in this is that we had short staff on both of the commissions, and so therefore, on one side it worked to the applicant's favor, on the other it didn't. But without a doubt, I don't think we had our best work done on this project because we were short-sighted. And so I know it means some additional time, but my preference is, because it is a very prominent location, that it's best if we get a good project and not an expedited project.
Okay. How do the rest of you feel?
Mr. Mayor, I guess my comments would be that there are three issues that are looming for me that I have questions about, and I think that it would be appropriate to have the differing bodies handle it. One is to me, I don't think it's had appropriate architectural review as far as the building in and of itself. I think the applicant has made some modifications, and I think those are certainly warranted. But I think that it needs to go back. I think we need to look at the massing that we're seeing here and seeing how that fits in And maybe I'm just missing it because this one certainly is a lot nicer than what I'm seeing over here, but that's not the point. No, sorry. So I guess for me, I would like to have the architectural review specifically address the issue of the building and then certainly look at the landscape plan that's come before us this evening that stat neither SNAF or the committees have looked at. The second issue is that I think it's paramount that North Halcyon Road is in the near future is going to be widened. And we shouldn't move forward with a plan that, at least what I'm looking at right here, shows five trees being removed and four of which are right smack in the middle of the new sidewalk. And that, to me, is not appropriate planning. It needs to be looked at. Where is the future sidewalk going to be? Why are we putting in? Where do those trees need to be planted when and if that sidewalk is put in? Either we can do that. I mean, certainly staff needs to take a look at that, bring that forth, and that can either come back to this body or the Planning Commission. Those are two issues for me. I agree with you wholeheartedly with the parking. Rain is a great place. If we need to do off-site parking, we can do that. There's still some confusion when Rob read the letter or what. I thought that it sounds like the Methodist Church across from Halcyon is the one that's providing the parking. That concerns me a little bit more with the going back and forth over Halcyon instead of the other church that's over here. That's going to be a heck of a lot better as far as I'm concerned from a traffic standpoint. So those are the issues that I think that were unknowns to us. And I would like to continue the item, have both staff and architectural review at the bare minimum look at it and have it brought back to us at a date uncertain.
Date uncertain or certain? Okay. Well, we don't know what your time frames are, so perhaps that. Any other comments? Did you have one, Jay?
I could support that, setting it back to architectural review for a look at those items and then having it come directly back to us. I think that would be the quickest way to I do think that the time element here to take a look at whether the suggested foundation changes could be done in order to save the trees, I think might be more involved than just, you know, 7 or 14 days worth of review. I think that is something of an issue.
Okay. Any other?
Yeah. If it does come back to us, I would like them to see the full packet.
Right.
And not just see the notes, but I would like basically everything that everybody else has seen.
Okay.
And, Mr. Mayor, I'd have no objection to continuing it for a while. To clearly answer the questions of can the building be moved without damaging and maybe saving the trees, and then getting that information coming back to us and having us make a final decision. Also, I think Mr. Dickens makes some valid points in terms of what's this going to look like when and if North Halcyon is moved and exactly where will the trees be located that are projected to be added to the location.
Okay. Well, I think I'm getting right, before we make a motion here, I just want to make one more quick comment, and that's to let all of you know that these kinds of projects are never easy. It's never easy to try and strike a balance. But I think what you've heard this evening is a commitment on the part of this council that we're going to figure out a way to make this work. There's not one of us up here that doesn't feel that this project in some configuration should move forward and that hospital should expand, and we're gonna do our darndest to figure out a way to make this work. But there are some issues here that we need to follow up on, and we don't have a complete package in front of us. And until we do, we're not in a position, I don't think, to make a decision. So with that, I'll entertain a motion based on the comments that were made.
I'll attempt the motion. Motion of the City Council that we delay the decision on this. Yeah, that we would we would delay the decision on this until ARC has, in fact, reviewed the final plan, and then it would then come back directly to council for a final decision on the appeal.
And that they would, if I can add, maybe. Sure. That they would look at the issues of possibly alternative foundations, alternative ways to possibly save the trees, if that includes possibly a parking reduction, the final location of the street trees in regards to the final placement of the expanded house in.
Okay.
Is there anything else that I left out?
Well,
and then also, I guess, the facade and as to exactly what is the building look like and whether or not it is appropriate for this location.
And I'll add to that, the applicant might look. I didn't pick up that it was a church across the street. I just assumed it was a church next door. So I do think that's something that you guys should look at, sending your customers back and forth across Halcyon as opposed to Rena is not going to be a good idea. I'm not sure one that I could support. So I do think you need to look at some other alternative there than using the Methodist church across Halcyon. So, but that's not really part of architectural review, is part of it. So, yeah, with those modifications.
I can second that.
Oh. Okay.
Also, I think that the discussion should also be include the parking lot and access, multiple access for both Rena and Halcyon, and whether or not that's going to be practical. That needs to be a part of what comes back to us, too.
Okay. Mr. Sim, let me check in with you. Are you reasonably clear as to where we are right now with this?
Yes, I believe so. I think I need to consult with VCA on some of these issues.
Absolutely.
Issues and all that. But we appreciate your comments tonight. I do respect your work. And I also am a planning commissioner, a little lower, but I appreciate the efforts that everyone does on behalf of the community. It's just too bad that we don't have an opportunity to kind of further embellish the ideas. But maybe next time we'll have that opportunity. We'll take the lead from the professional staff, I suppose.
Well, and we will make the commitment to you that, we will work with you on this, staff will work with you on this, and, we pretty much stick by our commitment. We'll find a way to make this work.
But just one point is that we're a little bit off guard right now in the sense that we felt, okay, this is just a sincere, honest opinion here, that we had been working through staff, that you had been relayed and allayed all the information on a timely basis, because we've been working since the last Planning Commission meeting to make sure that we got the kind of rendering and the presentation that would allow you to make the decision. So my apologies on our behalf if we missed the clue here, but I would like to work closely with the staff and making sure we don't do that again, I suppose.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, folks, first of all, I want to thank you for coming out tonight. We do have some additional items, so we'll wait for just a second until you go ahead and clear the chamber. Okay, we're going to go ahead with continued business. We have none this evening, but we do have new business items. And we will begin with 11A, consideration of a temporary use permit, number 06009, authorization to use city property, close city streets, the annual Arroyo Valley People's Choice Cruise Night. Rob, why don't you give us a second till... Okay.
Mayor, members of the council, the item before you is a temporary use permit. Normally, these are determined by staff, but when it involves a closure of city streets, it requires action by the city council. The Arroyo Valley Car Club has conducted a car show in the village area around the village green, involving some street closures that have occurred repeatedly in the past, and the city has a little problem with the recommendation for approval of that part of the temporary use permit. For the first time, the car show applicants are proposing a cruise night to occur Friday evening, July 28th, prior to the car show July 29th. In order to properly accommodate the number of vehicles that they believe would be involved in the cruise night, they have requested the closure of approximately a mile segment of East Grand Avenue for a two-hour period. This would be from Cortland to Alder. There could be advance warnings placed to the north, south, east, and west to note the temporary closure. The staff has coordinated with the car club and suggested an alternative route to detour through traffic off of Grand Avenue, which is the primary east-west arterial connecting Arroyo Grande to the Grover Beach area. It is slightly complicated by the fact that Friday evening is a regular baseball activity at the Soto Sports Complex, with softball and baseball both being conducted that night, so a fairly serious traffic generation occurring on Ash Street parking lot. The concept that has been brought forward is a diversion of traffic for that two-hour period using Cortland, Ash turning west back to Oak Park, going south further on Oak Park, crossing on Farrell to Alder, and progressing north on Alder to return to Grand Avenue. It's about a mile and a half or 2 mile diversion, if you will. A possible alternative, if the conflict with the baseball event is not considered major, would be a shorter diversion using Ash Street as the east-west diversion. While there have been concerns expressed by the police department about the diversion of traffic, the applicant has agreed to at least a partial reimbursement of estimated police and public work costs. Staff has not reached a recommendation for or against. We instead sent notice to the property owners, and the car club distributed a letter of from the city and also from themselves to the business along the segment of street that would be closed. We have had no comments adverse to the request. There has been no effort or easy opportunity to communicate with the residential neighborhood. It would affect a large part of the southwest part of Arroyo Grande during that two-hour period on Friday the 28th. But the car club assures us that they could control the access points, allow resident traffic into the area. The closure that has been suggested does allow for local access to all of the residential areas without preventing them. They would even allow for some traffic to traverse the area if a semi-tractor trailer came through and wanted to deliver to a business during the night period. They could allow that to traverse the car crews, and the car crews would adjust to the occasional vehicle that would be a non-cruise event. We did advertise, and we suggested that this would be an opportunity for both the applicant and for the public to comment on the pros and cons of the requested cruise night. And with that, the police department has conducted some traffic counts. It has been estimated that as many as 2,000 vehicles would be diverted in a two-hour period. That's certainly an imposition on the residential neighborhood, but it might be an opportunity to showcase Grand Avenue and to expand the event that has been historically confined to the village to a different part of our business community. And we have had some positive feedback from some merchants to try and pick up on that opportunity. With that, if you have any questions of staff, I'd be happy to respond. Steve Andrews from the police department has been largely responsible for assisting the coordination with the car club. And with that, I think Linda is here to answer questions and present the applicant's point of view.
Can we, if you can give us just another minute here. Okay. Steve, what's your take on this? Could we get your comments?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Good evening. The event is a fairly significant event in terms of its size, something we haven't attempted before, unless you were to attempt an analogy with the Harvest Festival and the street closures there. The counts of cars that we conducted were on actually last evening on a Monday, and we wanted to wait till school was out, until summer was actually established. So we did a count from 7 to 8 p.m. We had about 720 cars going each direction. From about 8 to 9 p.m., we had lesser due to the length of the evening. Traffic reduces about 520, and that's actually about 1,400 or so. However, there's a couple factors. One is this, again, was a Monday and a Friday evening. Chances are it's going to be possibly a significant increase. That also doesn't count existing traffic that may be on Elm Street north and south. It may be on Alder already north and south that attempt to approach Grand and get diverted down the diversion route. Those traffic counts strictly were feed vehicles entering Grand Avenue from the two termination points. So we came up with an estimation of about 2,000 vehicles. The two different diversion routes, one being Farrell, is a more lengthy route. However, it's not as residential as Ash Street, which is a shorter route. If Ash Street was seriously considered, the main concern would be between Alder and Elm. And if you were to drive that, you'd see that it's a very traditional, tight, close residential area. And to route the traffic there could create resident complaints or resident phone calls. It may be prudent to do the Farrell Avenue, even though it's a little bit longer. It's a kind of an event that can be done, and since it hasn't been, it's a question really of what would be the inconvenience, what would be the shortcomings, what would be the problems. And we've attempted to answer some of those, but again, since it's not occurred, it's a bit difficult, but it certainly can be done. I'd be glad to answer any other questions you may have.
Quick question. Rob, you said that the applicant was willing to partially reimburse $3,000. What are our estimated costs for this going to be between police and public works?
The $3,000 would essentially cover the estimated cost of a single public works person and a pickup truck. The car club would be providing the barricades and traffic control and warning. Public works would be available to assist and make sure that they're properly placed. The bulk of the expense would fall on the police department. It's difficult to estimate the exact hours that might be spent because it's never been done before, but we do feel that this would give traffic control at the diversion points. The detour signs would direct traffic. It might exceed the actual cost which is the reason that we identified it as a partial reimbursement. The city has traditionally waived the actual costs of policing and assisting the car show itself as a community event in the Village Green, including street closures. So the city has already contributed probably in excess of $3,000 of services for Public Works, Parks and Rec, and policing around the car show, but it's considered a benefit to the community. In the past, the council has waived those costs. We're not necessarily convinced that this is the total cost, so we've just provided the estimate, the bulk of it being police costs.
What's the worst case estimate?
The police department estimates 6 officers, 1 supervisor, approximately $2,000 for us. Talking with Don Spagnola with Public Works, he estimates, I believe, about $1,000. So approximately $3,000 additional for the crews on top of the typical car show.
I have 2 questions. One is, was there even a possibility of another segment of another road within the city that might be considered? And that's my first question. The second question is, was there any thought about one of the things I looked at when I first saw this was the RV traffic going to Pismo and going through there and being diverted? Those are the 2 items that I'd like to have some feedback on.
Yes, we did specifically discuss other segments of Grand Avenue and other streets, including Traffic Way. They need a fairly lengthy street because of the potential participation of 300 or more cruise vehicles throwing a continuous loop within the street. They felt from experience in other communities that partial closure, which we also discussed, where one lane would be blocked for the cruise loop and the other would be a through lane without diversion, could be considered hazardous. Atascadero, I believe, does a partial closure of El Camino Real through the portion of town that they have a cruise. There have been discussions of Traffic Way. It's not long enough to accommodate that number of vehicles. There isn't an easy loop because it's not wide enough. There's no median to throw a U-turn, and there's no side streets to parallel traffic. We felt it took a major street, and Grand Avenue is the most major street that we've got, and this is the divided segment of Grand Avenue, either a two-way left turn in the middle, which would function as a median, or a actual landscape median. U-turns could be conducted before you get to the signalized intersection at Cortland, in front of the Spencer's Market Shopping Center, and at prior to Alder Street at the Cookie Crock Market Center, in a way that would not conflict with those 2 major, Alder Street intersection, not the Cookie Crock. But there, it is possible to throw a U-turn at Alder without impacting the Halcyon signalized intersection. So, again, all of those things considered, notice given to the segments of property owners and business owners, no real response back from them. It's getting to be close to logistically important to make a decision, yes or no. So this was the time we set for decision by the neighborhood to input to the council.
What about the RV traffic that might be Friday night going to the dunes with, RVs with trailers and mm-hmm. pulling a lot of equipment coming through this detour?
If there is a substantial amount of traffic, again, the car club felt that in other events they have allowed vehicles with trailers to enter into and traverse the cruise. They would stop the cruise loop, give enough space for the RV, tell them to go through. Same thing with large delivery trucks, tractor-trailer trucks. That would be an exception to the normal rule of turn here and go through the neighborhood. We wouldn't necessarily want to route heavy vehicle traffic through the neighborhood. Large volumes, but not large vehicles.
Yeah, I'm getting tired watching you stand there. Would you like to have a seat until... Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay. Go ahead.
I just have a quick one. It kind of follows on the RV thought, is can we get signage on the freeway so that instead of vehicles going to be exiting at Grand Avenue, they would exit at Oak Park or possibly 4th Street so that we don't have to be diverting vehicles that really were just using Grand Avenue? Would that be a, can we get that as approved with Caltrans?
I think that that could be attempted. I'm not sure whether it can be accomplished in the limited time frame or that we would have a significant success rate in diverting traffic. It takes a substantial amount of manpower to divert freeway traffic as well, and I think Caltrans would probably far exceed the costs that the city is estimating in terms of signage and warnings and CHP officers to assist. So it would be, although I think an easy answer would be, sure, we could get some use alternatives to Grand Avenue. I don't think the alternatives would be much better. If they turn off at Briscoe Halcyon and come across Briscoe, they'd be right in the middle of the closure. If they come across Oak Park and intend to go east, they would be in the closure. If they come off Grand and want to go west, they'd be in the closure. So we're really talking about an internal local circulation closure, not so much freeway.
I wasn't really talking about closure. I was talking more about the big signs that, you know, say, you know, Grand Avenue closed between, use, you know, Oak Park. Just informal. People can make the decision to not. I'm not talking about any kind of manpower. I'm just talking about a sign.
We did think about that, and it certainly can be requested. We also thought more about trying to coordinate with Grover Beach, but Grover has previously conducted the event, and they were escalating their costs and feeling that they would need more police attention if they were to conduct it. So we intentionally brought the closure inside the city of Arroyo Grande to Cortland. We also wanted to access the shopping center at Cortland and maintain access to the shopping center at Elm and to maintain access to the theater at Alder to facilitate traffic within the community. They're small businesses, a limited number of retail stores, but most of them would be closed. The restaurants that would be open have the opportunity to use it as a function, and as I've said, no feedback from those businesses, pro or con.
Two quick questions. One, what about the consideration, particularly thinking of the RVs, of using Halcyon instead of Alder and pushing what would be the RV traffic down to Highway 1, which would be actually a more natural detour for them? And I'm also not seeing anything for dealing with the detour over Briscoe. There's actually a significant amount of traffic coming over Briscoe to connect the east and west sides of the freeway there. And what's the diversion there, sending them El Camino to Halcyon, I assume?
The graphic that's on the screen shows some orange dashes at Halcyon, Briscoe near Linda, Elm near the crossing. I'm trying to remember the what's the name of the street that parallels Grand Avenue to the north? Newport. Well, Brighton. Yeah, so Brighton is the street to the north. Signs at Brighton and Elm, Fairview and Elm, Juniper and Poplar, Elm Street near Sunset.
So you're going to divert the traffic coming over Briscoe all the way to Cortland? Am I seeing that right?
Yes.
Briscoe and go all the way to Cortland in order to get around to Elm Street.
If the traffic comes in on Briscoe, there would have to be, because the intersection at Grand Avenue would be closed, they would have to divert on Linda, go all the way past Ocean View School into the residential neighborhood onto Briscoe, and continue back over to Cortland. That's the only crossing on the north side.
I just think that's a lot more traffic than you're thinking that's coming, that's looking to connect Briscoe to, you know, to Elm Street and Farrell and some of those other deals. They
right.
really need a different detour than that, probably cutting them right off at El Camino.
Yeah.
But.
Right. The discussion, again, has been even further advanced signs could be accomplished at, like, El Camino Real, and traffic attempted to divert on the frontage road of El Camino Real to prevent use of Briscoe. All of these just mean additional signage, additional policing possibilities, additional problems.
What was Grover Beach has actually done this cruise before?
Grover Beach, I believe, conducted a similar cruise night last year prior to our car show. They chose not to, at least without substantial additional expense. And I don't know that it was well orchestrated. The police department conferred with the Grover Beach Police Department and might lend a little more detail about that. There has been no attempted cruise night activity in Arroyo Grande in the past.
Then is based on your feedback from Grover Beach, do you feel your six guys or for 2 hours is a good estimate?
I think the six officers with a supervisor is probably a good estimate. It's a question of a cooperative effort between the sponsorship and the police department and public works. And I think it for Grover, I think it grew to a point where it became a little more difficult than they wanted to deal with, and perhaps the expense and the logistics, but we may have an advantage in those areas with our city.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? I think it's your turn. Did you
one quick? Are we? Is this Elm right here?
And
thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, yes. City Council. My name is Linda Ayala Madison. I'm the secretary for the Car Club, have been for the last 5.5 years. And I'd like to address a couple of the questions. First, the closures, we were going to put signs outside where we actually closed the road to let them know so that there wasn't going to be traffic going down into the residential area. So the traffic where they've got the yellow marks up there at the top, there's going to be additional signs further out than that to let them know that there is going to be, I might hit somebody in the eye with that. Well, I don't know that it's good. Aim at that. No. I don't know. This. Okay, is there a technique to make it? Oh, there's a button. So out here, at the edge, there was going to be a sign here letting them know that the road's going to be closed. And then that way, the traffic that's coming in off of Briscoe won't be going down. All right. I should back up a little bit. This will be the sixth year we have the cruise. Previously, we've had the cruise in Grover Beach. We elected to move the cruise for reasons. The car club is Arroyo Grande. That's why we want to have the cruise in Arroyo Grande. So we want the functions here. We want to benefit it here. So that's what the whole thing started with Rick, and we started talking with him about it 2 years ago. So it would be the sixth year we've had the cruise. We haven't had any problems in Grover Beach. We've closed all the same roads. Good idea because they're familiar with the car show. And what else? I was trying to remember the other things that we were going over as far as. Oh, I conducted my own, sitting at Cortland, watching the traffic go through and counted the numbers and figured that probably on a Friday night that there was going to be a number of cars going through. I estimated that there were going to be between 500 and 800 cars going through. They're going to see those road closed signs and they're going to go somewhere else. The people that we have to worry about are the ones that aren't familiar with the city and have to figure out some way around it. So we're a nonprofit club. You're familiar with the car show. All the money that we get from the show goes right back into the community. The money that we get goes to the Five Cities Meals on Wheels, the Boys and Girls Club, the Rancho de los Amalias, the South County Seniors, the Harvest Bag, the Boy Scouts. Last year we gave twice to the Boy Scouts because they needed The Kids IDs, Campfire USA, Santa Cop, the Dare for Aurora Grandy, the Aurora Grandy Police Explorers we gave twice to last year, CASA, and Paulding Middle School. All the money we take from the car show goes into funding these senior and children organizations. The cruise, we don't make any money out of. We don't charge any money. We do it for the benefit of the community. The last 5 years that we have had it in Grover Beach, the restaurants and organizations that set up food booths benefit from it. So our thought was this year to bring it to Aurora Grande. We have a small club. We're 45 members, but we'll pull and support and do whatever we have to do in hopes that we can get through this trial period and see that it's going to work out without any problems. Any questions?
Yeah, I do have questions. A couple of comments from staff indicated that you folks have your own traffic monitors. Do you have people that assist with, and where would they be?
In we would put them at the beginning of the cruise and at the end of the cruise, and we would put them throughout the sides. Like the car show, we put up the barricades before. Quinn Rentals gives us the barricades and the delineators and loans them to us at no cost because we can't afford it. We would put them with the one of the things that we ask is the explorers. They help us. And what they do is they bring in their kids and they set up the delineators and we go around and take them all down. But we're, Boy Scouts. And the staff, or I shouldn't say the staff, the members of the club are all throughout the cruise to make sure that we don't have problems. The thing we want with the police is that we want them there to enforce this is a family function. We don't want to have problems. This is for classic cars only. We don't want to have motorcycles. We don't want to have people disrupting the whole thing. We want people to sit and watch the classic cars cruise and kind of enjoy what's going on. And we want them there to help keep it family-oriented and not any problems. So did I answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much.
into consideration.
But actually, because I do live there, I'm familiar with it. And I guess my concern would be the fact that there's two stop signs right here on either side of this little park. And we just had a neighborhood watch meeting out there with the residents, I think, last week. And traffic coming through here was a major concern of many of the residents who live in there. And so I guess my question of you, Steve, is if we're anticipating an increased volume in this cut through here, what provisions are we going to have for traffic control right in here? Because I can see those two stop signs in close proximity creating one heck of a bottleneck if we don't have, traffic control.
We have also the same problem on the other end coming down Alder. If we were to go to Farrell, there is a stop sign at Ash Street. And, in fact, if we went to Farrell, there's a stop sign at Fair Oaks as well. If we went down Ash, there's a stop sign at Walnut. So there's a minimum of two or three stop signs and maybe up to four or five, depending upon the diversion route.
Well, the reason why I raise it is I'm not raising it as a something that can't be addressed. What I am saying is that if we do have, if we're going to do this, I would much rather do it with people, with enough people to make it work. And I know there's an expense attached to it, but what I'm concerned about is that if we don't have someone here and someone here that can actually wave the traffic through, if there's no traffic coming up to the intersections this way, then they don't have to stop. They can just wave them through. That's what I was getting at.
And I would say probably that requires an officer with a uniform and nothing less because of the authority and the liability. So that is an excellent point, one that we hadn't thought out. So that could be in personnel resources. It could be a plus two additional. Although I when I say six, I'm estimating that it could be anywhere from with the two that you're mentioning, it could be anywhere from five to eight at this point.
Well, let me ask a question. Do we ever use volunteers, the police volunteers or explorers for just simple traffic control like this? Have we ever done that?
Not actually running traffic through an established authorized stop sign or other signal device, no.
Okay.
What about instead of going back to Cortland? I understand the logic, especially coming down Cortland, but coming back from Farrell, it would seem to make more sense just to send that traffic straight up Oak Park. The likelihood that they were actually going to Cortland, they probably were actually going to go beyond that. So that way we could at least avoid traffic in one direction.
Well, I think what we're looking at here is some issues on
that it's going to take me longer, so I know how to get around it. And my thinking is, I mean, we did it in Grover Beach. What we found was is that there were the outer perimeters weren't even staffed, and that people were going through the stop signs or they were getting around it some other way. So my thinking is, my more concern was is that people got in and be able to watch the crews, and the other one that we dealt with in Grover Beach was the tourist. You know, how to deal with the tourist. The big semis and the big motorhomes, we let them through. We just didn't even worry about it. We just said, you know, slow down, take into consideration it's a closed cruise circuit, and, you know, we're hoping that it's not going to be that big a deal. I mean, that once it's people see it, they're going to say, oh, all right, road closed ahead, let me think, I'm going to go over here and get away from it.
Can I ask, how many cars were involved when you were in Grover Beach?
We had 600 cars. We're not going to have 600 cars. We are going to control this one this time because we didn't want it 600. It's like the car show. We have the capacity to have 300 cars in the car show. We don't want it any bigger than that. On a good day, we'll take 300. On a really good day, we'll take 300. So the same thing with the crews. This year, we're going to issue passes, and they won't be able to cruise unless they have a pass, which is another reason why we want the police there. Because we're going to let them go out. We're going to make them leave.
What was the loop in Grover Beach from, like, 4th Street?
From Oak Park to 5th.
16th
Street. Thank you. Technically,
16th. 16th to 5th, so just short of, okay.
And Atascadero tried doing the cruise that Rob mentioned where they integrated with the other cars, and there were too many accidents. Paso Robles and Morro Bay have tried open cruises, and it doesn't work. You need a closed cruise, and we want to close it and control it a little bit more this year so that we don't have a problem.
And is the distance from, you know, from Briscoe to Halcyon too short a distance, or to Elder? In other words, half this distance with 300 cars?
Too short.
It would be too short.
Too short.
Okay. Even
if we only had 300 cars, it would be nicer to view if we only had 300 cars in a mile or that distance.
I'm Frank Sullivan, Vice President with the club. The distance that we did in Grover and the distance we're talking about here in Arroyo Grande are within a tenth of a mile of each other. Yeah. 7/10, 8/10 of a mile. Shorten it up to Spencer's to Mid-State Bank, say, just before the theater there at Alder, you're talking probably the same distance. So you're going to need that room for that many cars, even 300 cars. 600 cars last year was packed. I mean, it was just like ants. 300 to 350 would be just about right for that distance, and that's normally what we have in a cruise. And an answer to the RVs, if they do come up to Halcyon, where it's blocked there, instead of going these other routes you're talking about, direct them over to El Camino, they can go right to Old Park, go right to the beach.
Or right to Highway 1, yeah. That was the other question I had for Steph is, why aren't we just closing Halcyon and Old Park? I mean, and
there is a problem that you'd brought up. If we leave that major intersection open, there's no way to notice drivers, motorhomes, and such that are westbound before they get to the Alder diversion. So at the Alder diversion, they're either diverted or they're allowed into the car crews to get where they're going. I'm not sure how often or how many that would be. It could become a problem itself.
We discussed this before on that Halcyon deal. There's less residential impact on Halcyon than there is on Alder.
I'm still not quite sure I'm following the logic of why it changes the westbound traffic, whether you move all the traffic that's coming basically from 101 and put them on Halcyon as opposed to putting them on Alder. You're talking about a half block there of businesses that are mostly closed at that time of night. So there's almost no activity from that half block segment. So all of the, whether you divert them in Halcyon or Alder, doesn't seem like you would be changing the traffic counts at all.
That could be correct. It seemed simpler to not have to try and control that intersection and to let it open. If it requires a little more study and research, we can certainly do that. Another problem, though, would be the southbound Halcyon diverted traffic would then be dictated to Farrell, which would eliminate the Ash Street option as a diversion, since Ash won't intersect Halcyon. So the diversion would...
Yeah, I think with the baseball game, Ash Street's pretty much out as a diversion.
We're talking with Dan Hernandez at length. He described it as a typical... It isn't a regional event. It's just a typical Friday softball, baseball. Generally speaking, the participants will already be at the fields engaged in their games, and there shouldn't be traffic... should not be traffic interference by those participants with the car show diversion. And there shouldn't be pedestrians as such. They would be the way it would be as you see on a Sunday afternoon on a regional event there. That shouldn't be the problem. Dan thought that it could work either way, and he didn't have a particular conclusion that we should or shouldn't do Ash Street. He thought it could work if we so desired.
Any other questions? I had one last question for you, Steve. Speaking for the chamber, has the chamber gotten any feedback at all from the residents or the businesses on Grand Avenue?
No, we discussed it at the chamber level and felt that we would want to hear if there was any negative or positive feedback. All of our information that we got from Grover Beach, commercial businesses and that kind of thing, was they were in favor of it when it was in Grover Beach.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. This is not a public hearing, but we do have a few members of the audience that might have an observation or two.
Side streets in Grover Beach. Maybe their side streets are a little bit more convenient, and you can run over a Long Branch or one of those others, and they're pretty straight shots down where we might have to wander around a little bit more in Arroyo Grande. The local car guys that I've talked to are all in favor of it and can't believe that Grover Beach would have gotten rid of it on purpose. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
Nancy Castle, resident of Morro Bay. I'd just like to add that we had a car show recently. We had over 600 cars. Basically, what we find in Morro Bay is those residents who are interested in the car show walk down or come down. Maybe we're a little bit smaller. Those that don't want to deal with it don't come anywhere near the car show. Another point that was brought up after the car show is that many of the small businesses said that their business during the car show dropped off because all of their regular customers didn't show up. But in the days after the car show, they had increased business because of the trickle down, because God bless car show car owners. They spend a lot of money when they come to town, and so everybody had more money. And so that impact may be felt here in Arroyo Grande as well. On a different note, I'd really appreciate it if you gentlemen would all use your microphones. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you back there. Thank you.
That's not an agenda item, is it? Okay. Another staff comment, if I may.
Sure.
It's, again, a bit difficult to determine whether a officer needs to be posted at the stop signs, as the mayor brought up, for a full flow of traffic at one time rather than stop, go at each stop sign. If, and it's hard to determine that based upon the unknown volumes of vehicles. However, if we thought that that was needed as a posted officer to bypass traffic and bypass those stop signs, and we use the Farrell route for the eastbound traffic coming from Grover. As you can see, we're going down Cortland. We're turning right on Ash, which I believe is Mentone there, and then we're turning left again on Oak Park and then left again on Farrell, all of which are stop-signed intersections. So that's probably one of the larger concerns for the police department is are we going to have to need to man each of those to bypass those stop signs? And if so, that's a pretty large personnel resource.
Well, yeah. The only difference between what you described, Steve, is and I'm not that familiar with Farrell, but the only reason why I brought it up here was because those two stop signs, I mean, you can hit them with a rock. They're so close together. And so what I was concerned about was traffic coming down here, stopping there, queuing back, coming over here, having to stop again, and queuing back. That's, you know, those are my concerns. So,
or to the police department money, but I want to stress we don't pull in a lot of money off of this, and the bulk of the money that we pull in off of this goes into all those organizations that I mentioned, and we give $5,000 a year to those organizations, and it directly comes in off of that. So we have a little bit extra that we can give to, but it's our hopes that we can do this and the police department can help us and that we'll see that this is a good community event, but we also get some help from the community. And we don't want to disregard that, but I just don't want you to come back and say, yeah, you're going to do that, and by the way, it's going to cost you this much money. We're going to be like, oh, don't know if we can do that. Because that's the biggest thing. We're small, we're nonprofit, and everything that we get we put right back into the community, minus the expenses.
No, I don't think that's the issue in front of us right now. The issue in front of us right now is, once again, how can we focus on the circulation and make it work? And since we haven't done it before, then I suspect this is, if the council votes in favor of this, is something we have to pay attention to, what worked, what did not work, so that we bank it away if we find ourselves here next year.
We'd like to continue to do it here, and we want it to work well.
Okay. We're going to bring this back to the council and find out where we are on this. And why don't we start at the other end with Councilmember Costello.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One thing I'll say is I think that we're going to generate some responses just from this meeting. People at home watching are going to be commenting. I'm be interested to see what staff has to say about what kind of feedback you get about what we're talking about tonight before the event. I think we're going to find this is going to be a bigger situation than we're projecting it to be, but this will be a learning experience for us. There's no easy solution to this. We're going to route people out of their way. Some of them are going to go down Alder. People that know the streets are going to short circuit the diversions. And I think it may take a little bit more manpower than we're counting on, but I can support the idea of doing this.
Okay, thank you. Councilmember Dickens?
Mr. Mayor. Well, I got to be honest. When I read this previously, I was not in support of this. I thought it was going to create a greater impact than the benefit that the community would receive. And that's the beauty of a public hearing process. I think that what I'm hearing this evening is that there's been a lot of thought and a lot of detail put into this, and that I think it's worth given the car club the opportunity to make it happen. I think that what I'll be looking for is whether or not the feedback comes to us, and the residential impact is going to be something that I'm going to be certainly looking at. And if we hear a lot of residential impact and a lot of complaints, I think that that's something that we need to weigh in pretty heavily. The second issue is it needs to be a family event. If this turns out to not be a family event and we have issues, it's not going to happen as far.
I have a lot of faith in the locals that they will avoid it if they do not wish to drive in it, or they will come and watch. So I'm not real fearful there. I think it's going to be a learning event. I without a doubt, I think we'll learn things. What I do look at and really question strongly is whether it should be housing in Oak Park instead of Cortland and Alder, only because those are two main streets. And it seems to me we could avoid a lot of complaints with sending traffic down neighborhood streets and have the streets open to local traffic so that the Spencer's Market can be served and possibly the movie theater also. But again, the movie theater I don't think would have a problem with people coming the back way. So even if it was closed at Halcyon, those I'm going to more or less defer that to the police to decide ultimately on their route. But just I when you mentioned Cortland, I had a laugh because I knew that you live on it and I could understand it. But from a total independent person saying, why would we want to send all that traffic down a residential street when we have a main artery a half a block away, seems to me to be a lot less painful for the community. So I will support this. I will be there. I will watch. So I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem?
Just one clarification from staff. Are you guys talking about using the Ash Street? Were you looking for a decision from us on whether to use Farrell or Ash, or is your proposal definitely Farrell?
It's still open options. Ash is a little more traditional residential. It's a little less width. Farrell is more open, it's wider, it's sparser populated and sparser residents.
Really rough, too. Yeah.
Yes. If we were to go to the major intersections on the Halcyon side, we would certainly use Farrell. If we were to go to the major intersection on the opposite side at Oak Park in Grand, that actually is Grover Beach jurisdiction and would involve their department as well, which may or may not create an issue for the sponsorship. I don't know. That would be another new wrinkle to discuss and resolve.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that the other possibility is to use the mid-block point and just advertise very clearly that they're only going to Blockbuster. I do think that I agree with Councilman Arnold here that Oak Park and Halcyon seem to make the most sense. If you were going to use Alder, in order to use Alder to get back to Fair Oaks so you could take advantage of the light there, because that's going to be a tough left turn off of Farrell onto Halcyon when you start pumping a lot of traffic there. It's already a tough left turn right now. So moving just the one block on Alder to Fair Oaks to Halcyon seems to me just to get to that light would be a plus. I'm in favor of it. I think let's give it a try, but I do think that when we start pumping all that traffic, down Cortland and Alder, that's going to be a big deal. I think much bigger deal than
it is.
1,000 cars. It's a lot of cars coming down Alder.
One disadvantage using and controlling the major intersections are the approach vehicles to those intersections in their respective directions are going to need to be coned and noticed that turn left, turn right, but don't go straight. And that'll require a little extra control, the reroute residential versus a reroute on a more major street. But the Oak Park side involves Grover Beach PD. It's something that may need some sort of a resolution at some point beforehand.
I guess where I was prepared to go was that I was looking at at least from my perspective, that we would approve the detour as and the MB would be directing staff to select the best route for the detour, and maybe specifying Farrell as opposed to Ash. If you really think you can use Ash, it is shorter, and again, you could get to Fair Oaks fairly easily then to get to take advantage of the light as well. So that was the direction I was going, was that we would leave the ultimate route up to staff, given some parameters here, and I think we're pretty clear on the parameters. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. I actually favor that last recommendation by the mayor pro tem. And let me make it very clear for the record. On this Cortland issue, I don't have any problem at all. My comments were from the standpoint of circulation through those stop signs. And if those stop signs can be dealt with, covered up, I like your recommendation about, closing off the four-way. If there was a way to expedite it without having them be subject right in here, then, so be it. That was my only concern with rerouting on Cortland, certainly not the position of my residents. But I like the idea of experimenting and maybe going back to the drawing board with this, Steve, taking another look at it. I know you do your traffic counts, but maybe based on some of the comments that we made this evening, you can go back, take another look, see if maybe there isn't a better plan. The other reality of this is a recognition. This is the first time we're going to do this. And so I fully expect that we're going to have a personnel commitment to this. However, if we do that and we do a good job of observation, if there's an opportunity, we may have, an opportunity during the event to do some rerouting based on what we see. And so if there's a way of playing around with this a little bit and experimenting, and I don't know if that's possible or not, given it will all depend on the traffic volumes. But if there's a way, to kind of clinic this thing and experiment with it, and once again recognize that if we or when we do this in future years, then we can take advantage of that education and this experience, so that in subsequent years, perhaps there isn't as much of a personnel commitment, because we will now know the best way to go, and hopefully it'll be a reduced staff commitment. But this first year is going to be a learning experience, I think, for all of us. So, but I agree, this is a good thing for the community. Having participated in the car show and given away the mayor's trophy and avenue, that it sort of lends itself to another subject, but this is a kind of a good entry for it. So perhaps that's some subsequent discussion we can have.
And they did a constructive comment to the chamber and do a presentation before us and ask us.
Okay. Good.
Am I understanding that I can go ahead and get our poster printed?
Well, I think you have to wait until we have a motion, and I'll get to your question in a second. You're not anxious or anything, are you?
Well, we've got this gorgeous poster that has this Sunset Cruise in Aurora Grande down here, and the printer's waiting to do this. So
all right.
I'm excited about it.
Well, you may have your answer in a matter of seconds. Okay. Any other comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor Farrar, before we get there, can I muck it up a little bit?
Sure.
A couple of things. I think all the streets that are being considered for closure are included in the resolution, but if they're not, they should be. I mean, although staff can have some discretion in administering it, they have to be in the resolution. In other words, you can have an option of closing it or not closing it, but if they're not there, you can't close it. So I wanted to make sure.
Well, then in the then we don't, the motion can say based on some perhaps we don't approve the resolution as it's written.
Well, yeah, it can. What I see here is that they have included the streets that are going to be affected, I believe. But if there's any that aren't included in the resolution that you're talking about modifying traffic flow on, you need to add them. I've already told this to Rob, but I want to make sure that that's been done.
The closures are all specified. The detour route mentions all of the streets with the exception of Halcyon. So if we're going to list all the streets that might be considered for a detour, we would just say Alder, Farrell, Oak Park, Ash, Cortland.
Okay, I don't think we have to get into them tonight. I think what we can do is structure the motion so that we can approve this, and we can bring the resolution back amended. Can we not do that?
That's no problem. If you want to take action tonight, we can probably do that. I don't know the timing on the car show. Is there enough time to bring a resolution back?
Yes.
There is.
Yes.
Tim, by the way, is it the street closure or is it specifically the detour?
Well,
there's only one street actually closed.
Right, it's the detour. Any street that's really being affected.
It's going to be affected. Okay. I mean, just I think if we added Halcyon and Fair Oaks, we'd be done.
Right, and that's why I think we might as well just add them, Halcyon and Fair Oaks, to, right. To that sentence. And then two other things, and I apologize for doing this. I've been doing it persistently lately. The insurance requirements in Condition 22, I know this will draw a guffaw, currently reads, the event organizers shall provide a $1 million insurance policy naming the city as additional insured. I'd like to amend that, if possible, to say the event organizers shall provide a $2 million automobile liability and general liability insurance policy, naming the city as an additional insured, subject to the city attorney's approval, just to make sure that the policies are intact and will protect the city adequately.
We have an insurance policy that
from any liability claim, suit, action, loss, expense, or cost of any kind, whether actual, alleged, or threatened, actual attorney's fees incurred by city, court costs, interest, defense costs, including expert witness cost, and any other cost or expense of any kind whatsoever incurred in relation to, as a consequence of, or arising out of, or in any way attributable to, in whole or in part, this permit, period. And I apologize for adding it. There is a permit indemnity condition, but this is a general indemnity related more to accidents that may happen along the route. So with that addition, which would be condition 23, I'll shut up now.
Okay. Any other comments? Can you follow up if we approve on this? Can you follow up with the car show staff on this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. You want to try a motion? You want to do it?
Okay. I'd like to propose a resolution of the City Council of the City of Arroyo Grande approving temporary use permit 06-009, authorizing the closure of city streets, the use of city property, and a partial waiver of public works and police service fees for the Arroyo Valley People's Choice Car Show and Cruise event to be held Friday, July 28th and Saturday, July 29th, 2006, with item one to add the roads Halcyon and Fair Oaks as possible detour streets, adding item 23 as Tim so eloquently stated, and changing the liability insurance to $2 million instead of the $1 million as mentioned in item 22.
With the minor additional wording to condition 22 as well.
The additional wording as mentioned.
Second. Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Roll call.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Dickens?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Guthrie?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes. Okay. I think with the you can get together with city attorney, work out the legal aspects, and beyond that, I think you can probably put your poster out.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. All right, that takes us to item 12, city council member items. And uh, I have one item down here that has been sort of a lingering issue for the last month or so, as I recall. Councilmember Arnold and I were involved with members of the community on an appeal process regarding public participation, and we have two members of the group that we met with that I'd like to call upon at this time to sort of frame this issue, and then I'm going to make a request that we...
Appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight and just make a very brief comment on the letter. This is from the Mike Titus Memorial Committee, the appellate, 404 Lyerly Lane, Arroyo Grande, California, dated yesterday, June 12th. And it's to the City Council of Arroyo Grande, subject City Council Agenda, item 12, June 13th, 2006. The City Council member item appeal process and public participation, Ferrara. Reference letter to the City Council of May 18th, 2006, subject the rejection by the city manager of a formal citizen's appeal to the Planning Commission. The intent of this letter is to support an action by Mayor Ferrara to place the citizen's right of appeal regarding the staff's decisions and recommendations to the Planning Commission on the City Council agenda. In the reference letter to the City Council of May 18th, the Mike Titus Memorial Committee requested that the citizen's right of appeal for a public hearing of the staff's decisions and recommendations to the Planning Commission be heard by the City Council. As emphasized in the committee's letter to the City Council of May 18th, 2006, this request does not deal with the substance of the appeal. It deals with the right of the citizens to appeal based on the intent and spirit of the Development Code 16.12.150, respectively. The committee, Lynn Titus, Colleen Martin, Larry Turner, and Otis Page.
Okay, thanks.
Colleen has some comments, and if there's any questions I can answer, that would be fine.
Okay, thanks. We're done.
Thank you.
Good evening. Colleen Martin, 855 Olive Street. I just wanted to amplify Larry's comments that it's our intent for the Mike Titus Memorial Committee to place the citizens' right of appeal regarding staff decision and staff reports and recommendations to the Planning Commission on the City Council agenda. My mother and I both met with the mayor and the city manager, and then the rest of our committee did meet with the mayor, and we had some really eye-opening discussions regarding the citizens' right to have equal access to both the Planning Commission and the City Council when it comes to our planning decisions and the merits of a citizen's appeal. It's not our intent tonight or even on the night when you discuss whether an appeal is appropriate to be discussing a certain project. It's what we want to talk about is the process of a citizen's appeal. It is not our intent tonight to discuss why an appeal to the Planning Commission should be permitted. It is only our intent to get it on the agenda so you all may discuss it, not just a few of you, because obviously no more than a certain amount of you can meet with us. We request that in allowing the matter to be put on the agenda, the matter should be considered in a subsequent council meeting in terms of the development code that exists today, not reflecting proposed changes by the staff based on our letter of appeal given to the Planning Commission on May 16, 2006. We ask simply that the matter be put on the council agenda as a procedural matter dealing with appeal. It's funny, I talked to someone at the grocery store, someone stopped me at Starbucks, and I went to a picnic, and three different people from different cities said they were very much interested in following this concept because they were interested in it for their city. And I think this could be something new and exciting for Arroyo Grande. Thanks.
Thank you. Just to quickly summarize, there are so many different interpretations and I guess substance, if you would, to this request that I felt it was appropriate that we bring forward an agenda item, unwrap this thing so that we continue with what I consider to be the practice of that this council, I think, is largely responsible for, of ensuring that we do have an open government and an open process and an open public participation. So at this point, without getting into a whole lot of detail, I just want to get council's consensus to bring this back on a subsequent agenda with a comprehensive report that looks at all aspects of this so that we can hopefully all walk away with a better understanding of what the process is. So any objections? Okay. Then, Kelly, that's what we'll do. Thank you. City manager items?
Nothing.
None this evening? Council communication? Any council communication? Okay. Staff communication? None this evening? Okay. It's tough wearing two hats, isn't it? And so that takes us to 16, item 16, community comments and suggestions. This is our last community comment period. Any member of the audience would like to come forward and make any kind of observation on issues on the agenda or not?
Hi, I'm Gary Sherquist, 228 Short Street. I just want to bring to your attention an issue that's starting to arise in the Village Mixed Use District, and that's signage. We really don't have adequate sign guidelines in our historic guidelines district guidelines, and this issue is becoming. This is my personal thing. I think it's becoming a problem. I live in the area, and I'm concerned about it. I do want to bring it to your attention. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, Gary, if you could maybe jot a note down with some specific concerns. And take it into Rob. That way we can, find out exactly what.
I have brought it up with the staff, and unfortunately, staff has lost a key member who was going to handle this and so on. But I think it does need to be dealt with. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Because I think that it's important for you to have this information ahead of time before you actually end up having to address this this issue. And I'm going to go ahead and read the letter out loud so that it's on public record, and then I'll sit down.
Can you read this in 3 minutes?
I'll try. I'll skip over parts.
Okay.
Okay. Dear City Council members and Planning Commissioners, I am respectfully writing in response to the upcoming July 18th meeting regarding the proposed Cherry Creek development, and it was the May 16th meeting, located on the former Stillwell, Vandeveer, and Peters properties. I will address the heritage of this particular piece of land, point out some misleading inaccuracies stated in the mitigated negative declaration, and urge you to consider alternatives to dense development and the rezoning of this property. I have very important information, and I'd like you to see the attached documents for you to consider before considering approval or denial. And I'm going to skip over the part about my background in Arroyo Grande, but I've lived here for over 35 years, and my family has been here since the 1920s, so I have a vested interest in the past and the future of the village. And this is related to the proposed Cherry Creek development for the Stillwell, Vandeveer, and Peters properties. Because I was friends with Grace Stillwell for several years before she passed away and have remained in contact with her sister-in-law, I know a great deal about the former Stillwell property. I have recently done a bit more research on it and have a significant piece of information to share with you, namely that 734 Myrtle Street has and has legally had since 1913 mutual irrigation rights, and you can see Exhibit A, which I've attached. According to Grace, they used flood irrigation that was pumped from the creek through pipes, and they allowed the Vanderveers to use their pipe system to water their orchard trees as well. That means that at least 5 and possibly 2 more of the 9 acres designated as Phase 1 of this development are in fact Class 2 prime soil irrigated farmland. The property is not zoned ag, however, it has been in agricultural production, walnuts and chicken eggs, from at least 1913 through 1987. According to both Grace Stillwell and her sister-in-law, Laverne, Grace's mother-in-law, Naomi, farmed walnuts on the property from the 1940s to the 1960s, selling her crops to diamond walnut growers, among others. Grace and Albert came to live and work on the farm in 1967 and continued the walnut production and sales until 1987, when Albert became ill. I have included a copy of a diamond walnut grower's payment stub to prove that they were indeed an established and active farm that in 1977 produced 1,440 pounds of Class 1 walnuts with no insect damage for diamond walnut growers alone. And I'm going to skip over the rest of that paragraph, and you can read it. There are a few reasons why this factual historical information is so important. First of all, the city's associate planner has stated inaccurately in the mitigated negative declaration that this land was dedicated in the 1800s primarily to residential housing, and at the same time that the Planning Commission is considering this. And so I don't think that any change in zoning should occur at this time. And I'm going to skip over the rest of this paragraph and go on to the next. The 22 acres currently zoned rural residential are the appropriate transition. They are the appropriate transition between single-family neighborhoods and agricultural land. That acreage should remain one home per acre so that people can continue to enjoy the rural setting of the village and have the best of both worlds, a little piece of land to call their own with great soil to grow vegetables, to have a small orchard to own and animals, etc. One home per acre, our zoning, still allows the developers to build homes on the 9 acres they own. It just means they may not make as large a profit. Before the Stillwell property was sold, city staff outlined the potential problems with that land in a memorandum, and that was in October of 2002, that was available to the public so that future developers and owners would know what difficulties they might face if they purchased the property. The fact about business is that you win some, you lose some. Therefore, it is not the responsibility of the city of Aurora Grande to ensure that development occur on that property. And I'll just briefly outline some of the alternatives to developing it. Require a complete environmental impact review before considering development. Number 2, after careful planning by the developers, only allow one home per acre to be built, which would mitigate most of the significant impacts. Number 3, one or more of the developers could sell their parcels as is or with lot line adjustments and move on. And number 4, if sold, part or all of the former Stillwell property could be used for hands-on community outreach and or historic sustainable agritourism using no pesticide sprays as an attraction and benefit to all. And this could be run by a private group of individuals or by a nonprofit organization. It is a historical small farm with its own quaint farmhouse and outbuildings, not to mention the amazing stone farmhouse next door, and is unique in that it is one of the last remaining walnut orchards in the village of Aurora Grande, part of the original village walnut grove. In conclusion, the general plan is not a guarantee that the zoning will change, nor is it a guarantee for development. Therefore, the Planning Commission and City Council need to seriously consider what effect the present and future development of those 22 acres may have on community members. Not only will single-family medium-density development destroy open, farmable, irrigated land and wildlife habitat for future generations, it will cover over past generations of rural heritage. It will also negatively impact hundreds of other village families in the areas of traffic, school crowding, aesthetics, sewer, etc. Please consider the alternatives I have mentioned above rather than allowing the development and zoning change to move forward. Thank you for your hard work. And I just wanted to give this copy to you because I know that it's important for you to have information ahead of time to consider, and so I thought that it would be important for you to have it just so you could consider it in the weeks and months ahead. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Just want to let you know also, Polly, once you hand it to the city clerk, it's in the record. Okay. So.
Good, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Any other community comments and suggestions? Okay, then we'll close our final community input period.